Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with
Satish Shram, who's currently hating the weather in New York City, for what it's worth.
I've looked outside, and I've laughed, and I've gone back to playing Pokemon. In that order.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty out there.
Yeah.
Although
and
WWE
funny,
managed to make it shittier.
Actually, no. I would argue that I'm not saying this was the best show that they've done, but what I will say is I think this show was just there. It floated, but in my opinion, that doesn't make it the worst show in the world.
I do believe
it floated. I don't, honestly, I have to disagree with you completely. It's not that it sucks. Again, it's just that it gave us nothing memorable, which, yeah, I'm not saying
that's
a good thing.
That's what I was going to say. See, when I say it sucked, I was going to say it was forgettable. There was nothing.
Fair enough.
There was barely anything necessary about this role, and arguably there may have been something in the last segment, but we're getting rumors that, you know, off Twitter and just the grapevine, that Rollins is hurt, that he is legit hurt,
yeah.
And that they audibly canceled an Ambrose run-in to stop him again.
Ha! Because I was going to say I expected an Ambrose run-in, because that seemed logical.
Yeah, they just, you know, Ambrose is in the hospital. What is Ambrose doing here? The generic, like, that always happens, you know?
Obviously.
Daniel Bryan's not in the building at 10:59. It's Daniel Bryan!
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they actually would have had footage already, you know, pre-taped of, so we actually did send Ambrose to the hospital. He was there, and then he managed to break out. We're actually terrified.
I would have loved
terrified.
That actual footage, because it would have been hilarious. Just Ambrose literally breaking free of restraints and running, just running.
Basically,
and then an hour later, he's still running, dashing into the Raw arena.
That's what I'm saying. I expected something like that to leak, let's say, like in a backstage Raw, even though they don't want to do backstage Raw tonight because they're doing that whole, which is fair enough. Hey, you can still get the network and not listen to us. But please, listen to us.
But yeah, I mean, this Rollins injury kind of throws a wrench in a lot of things because, you know, Maddie's pointing this out to me. She's feeding me what she's hearing on Twitter from sources. And
This
is a huge fear because he was not in the ending segment, and that immediately is a red flag. Because not only did that segment seem rushed, thrown together, and it was bad, but he wasn't there even though he was in the match. He did not compete in the rest of the match. He did not end up in the last segment. No Ambrose running. Life may not be good.
Well, I'll say this much. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'll say that I think, I mean, I'm not saying that he's obviously healthy, but he may not be, extremely injured. It may just be something that they didn't want to aggravate. And seeing how Ambrose is very physical, you know, there's no way they can have a restrained kind of thing where Kane does a choke slam, you know, that could have actually, if put onto Rollins, could have been controlled, you know. But you have Ambrose just violently punching a guy in the face, even if it's fake. It's hard to do that too when you don't know the severity of someone's injury, which may not be severe, but it's still an injury. You know, so I don't want to, I'm hoping, because it's funny, because you've heard me say over and over, you know, on the podcast, oh, I want someone to be injured, if only to show WWE how bad their schedule is. But I don't want, you know, I don't want a lot, like, I don't want people that actually have storylines going now, you know? Like, I don't want Seth Rollins, I don't want Dean Ambrose, people, you know, who just are really good at what they do, and who now, because of these injuries, sadly, you might just have WWE say, oh, they're not reliable, even though he has the briefcase, you know, something that should really propel his career.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just freaking out because, I mean, and nothing's confirmed yet, by the way, for those of you listening it's speculation, but it seems like the perfect storm of things where I'm willing to go on a limb and think that, yeah, he probably is injured. And the idea is that he got hurt when he jumped off the top rope or when he was pushed off the thing, the apron by Reigns. So that's like a tweaked knee, and that could be anything from an actual injury to, well, you can't wrestle on Sunday, but you'll be fine by, you know, next week. So
exactly.
I don't know. I mean, but it's just like another one bites the dust kind of thing, you know, and you know who we have to blame for this.
Well, again, I'm sorry?
You know who we have to blame for this?
WWE.
No, you.
Oh, true.
On
it's
air,
all, it's all my fault.
A certain
yeah.
Matt Barrero said, I want more people to be injured, not major
only,
injuries, which is why
yeah.
you're hoping for the minor one with Rollins, but minor
right.
injuries.
And
we
I
have
only,
you to
again,
blame for Barrett,
again,
for Rollins, for Fernando, for Bray Wyatt's
no, for,
eye, for John
actually,
Cena's eye.
I will only take claim for John Cena's eye. That's the only one
you
I'll say.
You have brought the
possibly.
Armageddon. Is Daniel Bryan your fault, too?
No, I didn't know. We, remember, Daniel Bryan happened.
No, Don't we this. This was you.
Okay. Daniel Bryan happened, and I never even thought anything of it other than, oh, my God, this is terrible. All of a sudden, though, we get more people. I believe Fernando was before I said anything. I'm not sure. But I know that Barrett was literally the night of when I said something on the show, and then that happened. And then now we have Rollins. And, yes, the Cena eye thing, and now, you know, the Bray thing. But, again, I want WWE to really see, maybe we shouldn't be doing this many house shows. I mean, it's crazy. I just went to Madison Square Garden on Saturday, which was a great event. But it's still crazy how you realize these people are getting worked so much that it's basically, even to this day, you know, with all the, you know, with all the, you know, the cameras and this and that, it's still a carnival act at the end of the day with the way they make these people work like freaking horses. And it's just, it's actually upsetting when I think about it, even though it was an amazing event. That's what I really want them to see. You know, maybe we should cut back. Maybe we should do that brand split thing, because when I saw who wasn't at the event, you know, how many people weren't there, I realized that they could make a whole nother brand with them. They really could, guys. Like, seriously, I mean, you know, there were a lot of people out there. I mean, the, you know, Rollins, Reigns, Ambrose, Kane, RVD, Ziggler, Big E, Kofi, you know, AJ, Paige. I mean, they literally had enough, and of course some more I'm probably forgetting, but they had enough people that not there. To you know, to make another show, obviously, because that's what they do. They do A and B shows. You know, they'll split them up at house shows. And it really makes you think, like, okay, so why are these people still working elsewhere? And then they have to be flown in. After you mentioned to me, you know, in person, they did the New Jersey show the night after.
Yeah, New Jersey show on Sunday, and then the Richmond, Virginia show was obviously tonight for Raw.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So, you know, they just, it was, it's just, I feel like it's too much for them. And then that's why things like this happen. And after a while, I'm sorry to say, you know, hopefully there aren't any more injuries now with the actual amount of freaking injuries that are happening. I don't want
any
more.
Thank you for removing the curse.
I hope it's not too late. But the thing is that we really have to understand is, as WWE has to understand is, you know, if more do happen, what are you going to do? Yeah, they're not Cena, even though, you know, arguably they could be better than Cena in the ring still, and on the microphone. They're not Cena, but that doesn't mean that they aren't big hits to your company. Even if it's, like you said, oh, he can't wrestle on Sunday. That's a pay-per-view. Things were going to happen with Rollins at that pay-per-view.
Yeah, timing is not very, is very, very, very unlucky.
Yeah. And that's a major issue. Now, let's move away from some, you know, that upsetting thing, and let's talk about more upsetting things. Before we actually get to the content of the show itself, I want to mention a few things. First off, usually, like, we haven't done main event in a while. We did main event last week, WWE main event. And we're going to tomorrow, but we usually have this rule of if they don't promote main event, it clearly, in their eyes, won't be good enough to cover.
They did
therefore,
promote.
Therefore, we won't. In a cutaway line, they did not have an actual promo screen up.
Yeah, they did.
They did?
Yes.
So clearly my television was acting up. What did they promote
Sheamus
on main event?
And somebody else. I stepped away from the TV to get water at that second.
That actually upsets me because I was staring at my TV screen. I don't know, maybe there was like a glitch or something. Because I know
I'll
it
see
out
if
a bit
I can get that for you. So give me.
You would say glitches at my house. I would like everyone to know this. Thank you, Time Warner. USA Glitch.
Actually, yeah,
anyway.
I don't know if you can do a quick Google search on anything for that, Maddie, because I know you're out there listening. if you can see what the main event match is for tomorrow night, because I know one of the members was Sheamus, but I just didn't.
Yeah, no, because I sadly did not see one. I saw all the other WWE ads, which is strange that I did not see that one. I didn't see that one, and I, but what I did see, though, see what I did see, is, now main event is up in the air for me, thanks, Satish. What I did see, though, is a bunch of CM Punk promotion, which is great, by the way, but they promoted him.
It's such a tease, by the way, because they start the promo with the riff from his theme song, and that really got me for a second.
Yeah, it did. No, but it's perfect because they do show that. Like, here's the thing, right? That came up twice. Main event came up once, and then they did a throwaway line at the end in the main event, right? And I don't know who Sheamus was fighting, but unless it's for the U.S. title, it's pretty worthless, right? It kind of upsets me, if only because, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, all right, so your main show, like the main content that is new every single week, that will be promoted. But CM Punk, who deserves multiple promotion, you know, he deserves that. Still, though, is getting so much promotion to try and think, just try to get him in with the Punk guy. But, sir, it's one special. I just throw stuff at it, whatever. What about that main event thing? What about that main event thing? I don't know. You know, it feels as if we have these moments where we say, you know, lol, TNA, you know, oh, that's what TNA does. Let's have some for WWE as well. Let's not, you know, keep them exempt. WWE, for some reason, has the ability, you know, likes to, you know, focus only on the short term rather than the long term. And it's an issue because main event is a huge thing, and it's something that people who already have the network should be looking towards. And if someone is, you know, and if someone is trying to think like, oh, you know, why should I buy the network? Again, main event should at least be in their mind. As silly as it sounds to maybe some people, it should be in their mind, right? It shouldn't just be, oh, well, if CM, you know, two CM Punk documentary things in a row, like one show about him and then one documentary, well, I guess I must get the network. You know, that shouldn't be the only reason people are getting the network.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously desperate for subscribers at this point, you know?
Obviously.
But
obviously,
it's funny because all you got to do is make the on-screen product better and you're going to see a small jump at the very least. You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Raw was, for, again, so I'll go with your, you know, going with what you were saying more than rather it sucked. It was forgettable tonight. You know, it barely served a purpose. And it was the go-home show, which is a big thing. Like,
I think it was
the fact
that tonight
is supposed to matter.
Yeah, I think it's because they worked them so hard that they just, for some reason, you know, they let the superstars, in a way, take a break. And they also, for some reason, they also ended up doing something where it felt as if creative even took a little bit of a break. Because, or at the very least, changed up people's characters on a whim.
I was
going to
laugh at
that,
later. By the way. Creative taking a break. I was going to just argue, when do they work? Because
you have to understand, Satish. They work more than you and I may ever in our entire lives. They write 30 scripts a day. Vince McMahon finds a way to somehow, you know, refuse 31 scripts. They don't know where he got the other scripts from. But he has it. And he somehow managed to say, nope, write it over again. I actually cannot wait until, you know, he, you know, steps away from the business so that we can see how good they actually are. Because you'll see little bits here and there of some good things, and you'll wonder, who wrote that? I want to actually get, like, a written by underneath, like on TV shows, to see who wrote that segment. You know, little things here and there. Not tonight, obviously, but in general, there are actual good little things. You can't tell me that in the last,
well, if it helps,
you know,
if
year,
you look for
they haven't written a good thing.
I think Alex Greenfield is his name. You know, he worked on the Mickey James Trish Stratus angles back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Among other things, he's friendly, he's talkative.
That would be interesting. But I mean, like, again, in the last year, you can't tell me nothing good was ever written in a funny way. Like, obviously, little things here and there do happen. So it's like, they do work. But again, I just feel as if, from what we've read, the environment just seems very, especially I'm sure now, the environment does not seem happy. It does not seem like a place that thrives.
Maddie can't
find
it confirmed, by the way, for main event, but she wants to say it's Sheamus and The Miz. And to be honest, I believe it's Sheamus and The Miz because after tonight, I feel like we'd get some kind of rematch. like, oh, Sheamus and The Miz
also,
for the title. Because,
also,
you know,
I believe it's Sheamus and The Miz because, as I'm sure many of you know that are, you know, listening, if it's your first time listening, our fact checker Maddie is a huge Miz fan. So if she heard The Miz's name, she'll recall anything about. So I'm pretty damn sure it's The Miz.
Yeah.
She wouldn't just, The Miz wouldn't go over her head. So, I mean,
that
there's that.
That being said,
so,
random note.
Yes.
Oh, actually, I've got confirmation. Main event is Sheamus and The Miz from another source. Thank you, Mona. Forgot that you still listen. She usually falls asleep listening to us. Not because we're boring, but she thinks we're comforting.
We should start playing lullabies.
Are we comforting?
I would argue we're not, but I'm happy that she believes we are.
I like that the second I said that, I got a text from Maddie saying I hate you both. Referring to The Miz comments. Because...
I'm actually being serious. I was not being condescending at all. If she hears, she doesn't have to be near a television, but if she hears the words either The Miz or Awesome, it'll just register in her mind. Just pop up like a little kind of exclamation point over her head.
And for another note, we've also got a request from Mona to not play lullabies because, that would be bad.
It actually would be terrible. But also, speaking of tonight, as if that's a segue at all. Did you notice that there were a lot of commercials tonight? Or was it just me?
I
felt that they took an extraordinary amount of commercial break. Right.
I don't know.
Something,
but
no, something
is
about
low
tonight,
for me tonight. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yes. No, I'll admit, yes. And something, I don't know, something about tonight. In the last maybe 2-3 weeks there have been, a heavy amount of commercials. Now, something about tonight just felt as if it was just, we're back from commercial. Hey, look, Ric Flair is walking. Awesome. Let's go back to commercial.
Yeah, I mean, I may agree with you on that. I just felt like it went by slow. So maybe it was the commercials. Maybe it was the fact that Raw was really bad tonight to me. So
that's the thing. It wasn't super duper bad to me, so I'm thinking it must be the commercials. Like, I do not advocate anyone to download Monday Night Raw legally, but I think I might, if only to check the runtime. I'm going to actually look up how long this Raw was, because I want to see, because usually Raws are going to be about an hour and 20 with, 40 minutes of commercials, but I want to see if Raw was, 2 hours and 20. I want to see if Raw is 2 hours or something like that, or 2 hours and 5 minutes, as if they took, that much more commercial time, because it really felt that way to me.
Mm.
And but also, a quick question for you. Obviously, Barrett is injured, but as they mentioned on the show a few times, he's actually going to be at Battleground. My question to you is, he cannot be back from injury already.
No, separated shoulder.
No, he cannot. So unless they give him the Cena treatment, the full Cena massage,
not even with. Not even with.
Right. Okay, so not even with. He shouldn't be. So that's very confusing because he can't be back to take his title. So he literally, for some reason, I understand they want him on television or on wherever to kind of keep heat going, but it's still very interesting as to how, this is happening.
I think it's just going to be a matter of he gets a segment of congratulating, quote-unquote, the winner by making a bad
news
joke.
Right, I assume that's what they're doing, but
just like I've got some bad news, basically, that you have this title now, but you're only placeholding it for me when I come back. And they're doing this because they know that Barrett became over. So
it's
sort of like a name drop where it's like, oh, yeah, Barrett's going to be there too. I mean, that's not going to be a difference between anyone buying or not buying the pay-per-view, but I'm sure it doesn't hurt.
Right. I assume as much. I mean, yeah, that's all I can really say. But, hey, let's jump to the opening segment. Let's actually talk about the Monday Night Raw itself, the content. So, I would argue that Ambrose is God, and that's all we really have to say. I mean, he got beat down like that, and he didn't die. I mean, that was a pretty horrible curb stomp, honestly. In real life, it's kind of funny how they try to make it seem a bit more real. It's like, no, guys, in real life, that would have killed him.
Yeah. You know what? The only thing that ticked me off about that statement, though, that whole little segment, rather?
What?
Reigns has apparently been taking lessons from Cena, because Ambrose came on the Titantron when that happened, and apparently the two of them just stood there and watched it happen.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, actually. Yeah, there's a lot of things that have been happening, that some that we haven't even mentioned, actually, which is kind of funny, that these past few weeks or whatever, that really just seem kind of awkward. Like, that thing is very awkward for, you know, and again, for some reason, creative just, and it's not like they were, it's not like Ambrose was, you know, in a completely different area where he said, you know, yeah, I'm not even in the building right now or something, and then just gets beaten up. It's like, wow, they found him wherever he was, you know? Something, it could have been anything, but just, it's just so awkward that it's just, actually, they're backstage. If you walk behind the, ramp and go to the right, that's where Ambrose is. You know, that's what I'm saying, which is,
you know,
guys,
just, either way, it's like, okay, Ambrose is in a hard-to-find place. That's why Cena and Reigns didn't go get him. Well, how did the three of them find, you know, Ambrose? And then the flip side, well, if he was in a pretty easy-to-find place, then,
yeah,
Cena
and
Reigns are assholes.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
They should have at least ran to the
damn,
back.
Yeah, they make all these damn camera cuts to the crowd, you know, just, and it could be anything, like, you know, just the crowd looking, just, wow, that's a Titantron, you know, just the crowd looking at stuff, not even laughing or smiling, just looking. Why can you not have a camera cut of them going, oh no, you know, and then, oh no, they didn't find Ambrose, it's like, we couldn't find him, you know, we don't even know where he was at the time, like, little things like that. And it's funny, because there, you know, some say, oh well, it's a little thing, that, there's kids. I always talk about it as if I'm really trying to just go, no, save the children, think of the children. But it's true. The children are watching, and they're going, huh, so I guess we shouldn't save our friends or nice people, because nothing ever bad happened between Ambrose and Reigns. There was no bad blood there. There's no reason why Reigns should be like, all right, Cena, I'm going to kick your ass later, excuse me, and just run out and just run away.
That's what I mean. Like, it really ticked me off.
Because at first I wasn't ticked off, but I'm so ticked off that I guess I must have blocked it out because I didn't mention it. Because at first I wasn't ticked off, but then with the severity of the beating, it became more apparent that John Cena and Roman Reigns were playing rock, paper, scissors or something. Like, I need to go out. No, I want to go out. We'll play rock, paper, scissors. The cameras won't catch it, but the crowd will.
Yeah, it bothers me because I just don't know what the hell is going on. Reigns should be trying to go back there to help him. And then, you know, that being said, Ambrose does everything really well. Sell a beating, sell a promo, the whole, like, is that all you got kind of thing. Like, it's just, he does a lot well. And I love that. I really do.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and he's going to be doing very well for a long time, hopefully.
But now I'm just worried about what the hell is going to happen on Sunday because, I mean, granted, if it is a minor injury, that's great, because originally the plan was probably going to be Ambrose and Rollins, and then Ambrose Rollins 2 at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't really hurt to have Ambrose Rollins 1 at SummerSlam. It doesn't.
Exactly. No.
But, you know, so I'm just hoping, and I'm working off the logic that whatever Rollins is plagued with is not that serious, because please let it not be that serious.
No, I'm hoping and I'm assuming that it isn't, and if Rollins cannot be at, you know, Battleground, there's no reason. Okay, there were three men that just beat him up tonight, right? That so that what that means is if there is an issue of something happening at Battleground, you know, let's say, you know, like Orton and Kane realize, you know what, we should probably tag, you know, on either Cena or Roman Reigns, you can have Ambrose run in and say, nope, not happening, because it's a fatal four-way. So in their eyes, fatal four-ways are no DQ. Even though they will not be using any weapons, there's still no DQ. So, yeah, there's a lot you can have him do, and it won't even, in a way, kind of turn into...
they're not no DQ, but the championship can't change hands that way.
Fair enough, but I know, like, triple threats, they usually try to argue, like, I know, like, triple threats or whatever, I remember at WrestleMania it was no DQ, but they didn't use any weapons. Like, they try to promote them as, oh, anything goes, like, oh, it's so crazy, because, remember, there's no countouts. So they try to really kind of promote that anything can happen, but yet they don't actually use flaming tables. But in theory, they could. But anyway, but they don't. But what I'm saying is that Ambrose could do a run-in, could work, and it's not. And because Seth Rollins is authority, you know, Randy Orton and Kane are authority, it just turns into an authority thing, which it still was in general, instead of a, oh, Randy Orton needs his revenge or Kane needs his revenge. Which, if they want, they can get on SmackDown. They've already fought him already on the normal shows. so they can easily get revenge just on more normal shows, you know, like Raw and SmackDown or main event if needed.
Right.
But yes, so we move on to Ms. Sheamus. I'm going to say something that it's hard for me to say. I'm so happy Miz won. That's a weird sentence.
I'm going to let you talk.
Right. I'm happy Miz won because he needed this. Sheamus did not need this. You know, Sheamus has won a lot of things recently, especially that feud with that ADR fellow who's never gotten a win, even at a house show that I went to. Never got a win on Sheamus. So Sheamus doesn't need to just out of nowhere beat The Miz, where The Miz has been, you know, humiliated, understandably, but humiliated by Jericho, you know, and lost to Jericho on Jericho's way to losing the Wyatt. So Miz didn't need to lose to Sheamus. There's no actual reason and logic to it other than we don't really want Miz to win. But other than that, though, still, well, I respect Sheamus now a bit more after seeing him do a really good job at Madison Square Garden against ADR. Still, I just don't think that he needed this. Because, again, we both talk about Sheamus being, you know, the Cena light, the Cena of the mid-card. As, you know, and we're not joking most of the time. It's true. So he doesn't need this. You know, he has the United States Championship. He's going, for some reason, into a battle royale that could give him both the United States and the Intercontinental. He doesn't really need to just beat up The Miz. And guess what? Yeah, main event, so he could beat up The Miz there, fair enough. But at least in the first match, like, that's the thing. WWE, at least for once, understood. Maybe we could make a rivalry again out of this. Maybe we can put these two in another match together or something. Let's not just have Sheamus win, laugh it off, and then walk away. And then beat The Miz again. Smile, walk away. And then again, beat The Miz. Like, it's too much. So I'm happy that at least Miz got the win. And that's a weird sentence for me. Don't worry. But I'm still happy it happened. Because there was no reason for Miz to lose, to, you know, in this specific match.
Okay.
How about you?
I have no problem with anything you just said there. I mean, you know, it's still a whole thing where I think The Miz is terrible at pretty much everything.
Of course.
Now, he's
improved, than being a heel.
He's improved from being really terrible at things, where he's just normally terrible now. But,
fair enough.
You know, you're right. He in no way should have lost this match. I mean, if you want him to be relevant from here on out since he's come back, he can't just suck. And I mean that in terms of win-losses kayfab, you know?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Sheamus, who is destroying everything on the planet, really doesn't need any kind of extra help or this win here because he doesn't have a super big title defense coming up.
No.
He's got this Battle Royale, which he really has no business winning. So him winning here does nothing for Sheamus' credibility. Miz winning, rather, does nothing for Sheamus' credibility. And at the same time, it makes sure that people remember, hey, Miz can do things. And it was kind of a sneaky kind of win, you know, it wasn't a big thing. But we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I mean, Miz could get a definitive win, and nobody would bat an eye because Sheamus has beaten Alberto Del Rio 300 times in a row. And they could just do Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio next Monday, and everything would be fine.
Exactly.
But,
so,
I mean, Sheamus will probably win tomorrow
we
night.
Also, we have ourselves a caller, so I'd like to patch him or her through.
Hey,
hello,
guys.
Caller.
Hey, guys.
Hello. Is this Daniel?
Yes.
We heard that Daniel actually died, so him actually appearing is an amazing thing. I'm happy you rose back from the dead under Daniel. Daniel Taker. And, so what segment are you calling for tonight, Daniel? To talk about, I assume it's...
Well, what's the next segment you guys are going to do? Because
I don't know, Daniel.
We don't
have notes. We never... We're very free-flowing here. I'm kidding. We're actually talking about Dolph Ziggler versus Fandango.
Ah, okay. My favorite superstar right now.
Dolph
Ziggler.
So, all right. So, hey, Daniel, what did you think about this match?
Well, it was okay because it's the mid card, and but it was forgettable. Like most of them,
I think it's because they wanted it to be forgettable. Because they had it end in that, you know, that smog finish again, which they always kind of do, and it just didn't really, it didn't need to happen, which sucks because these two are very, I'm sure, you know, of course, Satoshi and Chime in, they're very good, you know, competitors. I mean, they're, you know, they're very talented, so they really need a lot of time to shine, and they didn't really get that.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, in the finish didn't, like, Dolph Ziggler winning with the Famouser doesn't exactly do it for me. I'm like, really? Are you Kip Sock Jr.?
I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, I just think that, you know, it's the whole situation of why are they still thinking that, you know, they can have people get distracted with dancing or things like that, where it's just, you know, after a while, you have to just expect that, especially after the fact that they've used it so much recently, that you have to assume that, you know, even though his music hit, Fandango has to sit there and think, well, whatever, I don't know, and then just continue fighting, rather than, where is it coming from? Oh, it's those two pesky rascals, and then all of a sudden he gets hit with a Famouser.
Yeah, but still, I would be distracted by Summer Rae dancing.
I mean, I understand that line of logic, but it's a situation where I just think it's overused at this point. Also, Mr. Ram, Satish, are you dead?
I'm right here. I'm just letting you guys talk.
Oh, good. I thought I was so worried. I was like, first Daniel, now you. I mean, if you've been listening to our DBZ podcast, Tristan just came back from the future. It's just a lot of crazy stuff.
It's a long story why I didn't call last week.
It's okay, Daniel. It's okay. But you're here now. And you'll never leave.
It's good to have you back, Danny. And, you know, and on topic of the Dolph Fandango thing, sloppy isn't exactly the word I'm looking for, but I'm going to use that right here because, first off, we have done this music distraction dancing thing with what feels like R-Truth, Xavier Woods, Fandango, Dolph, the women, like, a lot in the last few months. You know? So that's one thing. Another thing is that it was a really weird thing because at a moment towards the end, you could see Dolph looking at them too and slash, like, half distracted by them. So it was a moment of, like, are they going to distract them both and just, like, raise hell on the male division?
That would
like,
be
is
great,
that what
actually.
It is? We're going to distract. And I guess the ending after with the whole, like, little moment of hey, you know, we're gonna dance with Dolph now. Felt like it was a little bit overly sexualized, like just a matter of, like, hey, the sex object women are gonna dance for the crowd and dance with Dolph.
Yeah,
it's a
huge issue.
The whole thing left a weird taste in my mouth, and Daniel, you called it forgettable, and I'm with you. I kind of want to make it forgettable. I want to forget.
Yeah,
and the thing is, the dance with Dolph kind of seemed forced.
Yes, it did.
It felt for them. For Dolph was funny because I felt like it felt like an older segment, which is kind of bad when we're in the, you know, 2014. It felt like something like Dolph was just like, huh, like I wasn't told that this was going to happen. You know, like he actually looked genuinely amused, which was kind of interesting. But yeah, I didn't find it. What I found, I think, upsetting, and I mentioned this to you on the phone, Satish, and we'll kind of tie this into the Madison Square Garden event that I went to. This segment, what happened here to me anyway, it seems like, all right, so they turn on Fandango, and they're supposed to become faces, yet they're still doing the same juvenile crap that they were doing when they were heels, which makes you think, wait, so is that wasn't their heelish behavior? Then what was the heelish behavior then? Because what has really changed? And that's what's upsetting. It kind of feels as if nothing has really changed, where it's just, you know, it's just, you know, oh, they turned on Fandango, so that means that they're good people now. You know, the cattiness and the things like that, those are, you know, the whole, oh, jealousy, whatever, you know, that's bad, you know? I mean, maybe you want to beat them up, fine, beat them up. But again, this is just taking it to, like, in my opinion, another level, where it's just, all right, what are we doing here? Like, you're going to come in the ring and try to hit Fandango because he screwed you over for a while? Sure. But doing this, I feel as if, you know, it's too much. It's getting to that heelish behavior. So again, there was no turn then. You turned on Fandango, but you didn't actually turn face, which is very weird for this business.
Yeah, and now it's a matter of what the hell do we do from here? Like, where are we going? What?
Yeah.
All right, so great. It was the right thing to do to break him free of Fandango. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did that. But now what?
Yeah.
Like, are they just
going to
leave them in some kind of purgatory?
Yeah, I mean, Daniel, did you actually get to either go to the Madison Square Garden event or hear about what people were saying about it?
No, I did not. I'm sorry.
Well,
Oh,
no, it's fine. I understand, you know, I mean, petitioning
to
go either.
I heard there was a pale Roman Reigns in crown. There was a pale Roman Reigns in the crowd.
Well, yeah, Roman Reigns was not there, actually.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because they had different, you know, different house shows in different places. So I'm pretty sure Reigns was either in Japan or Jersey or somewhere. He was not in the building, which was actually upsetting. But I would like to bring this up. If only, you know, I'm actually going to write an article about it, probably put it on Cage Side Seats. If anyone goes there, definitely, you know, check it out. I'll probably even post it on the Those Guys on the Radio Facebook page, or if you search up on Facebook, just Those Guys, you know, to kind of see, you know, how the event was, because it's very interesting. And they had a point where, which I was so nervous that it was going to happen tonight, and it didn't, thank goodness, but I'm still really worried about it, where Summer Rae, right, and Layla, you know, they came out to beat up Fandango, which is fine, whatever, you want to do that, whatever. It was just, obviously, SmackDown had just happened on Friday, that's what they're going for here, right? So they come out, they beat up Fandango, he leaves, they start dancing, and then they get kind of close.
Oh, God.
And then they get closer.
Oh,
and then they actually are staring into each other's eyes. The crowd is chanting for this, and I'm furious. I can't even scream, no. I'm just so furious with anger because of the, you know, no lead-up into this. Just, oh, great, so they don't like Fandango because apparently they're lesbian. And they only peck on the cheek as if to say, like, haha, we were just teasing you boys, which is even worse, by the way, because they're faces, so that's nice, right? And then... they actually kissed on the lips. It was a quick kiss on the lips. But again, still like a tease. Like, I'm just teasing you guys. Like, we weren't actually going to really kiss, you know? Like, it's upsetting because, again, why is WWE kind of putting them in that position to even do that? Where, you know, even though, yes, like, you know, yes, there are girls that, you know, they do a quick peck on the lips because to them it's like, you know, it isn't a big deal. But they're doing this in a way that's trying to make the crowd get enticed into, like, a girl makeout session. And
yeah.
I get furious here.
Well, I get your point. I see where you're coming from. Like,
yeah.
They're supposed to be faces. And
yeah, it's just, I mean, and it hasn't happened yet, but I'm just really worried with the people who work, you know, behind the scenes and the fact that most of the time when you're at a house show, they're training them to do things live, you know, so live on television. So I'm just hoping this doesn't happen. I mean, I'm happy that it didn't happen tonight. You know, they were just dancing with, you know, they were, it's just, it's upsetting because it's just, and that's why maybe the segment wasn't so upsetting to me. Because it could have been so much worse, in my opinion. You know, there's so much worse that, you know, again, after hearing about that house show thing, it's just like, oh, they could have done some bad things.
You know, this is making me lose faith in WWE. I'm thinking I'm going to pull out my stock.
Yes,
your
pull
one
out
stock?
All of your... He does,
I remember
but
this story.
It's very little stock, though. Like, it's not, I mean, how much stock is it, Daniel? Are you willing to give up that information live on the radio?
I only own, less than 1% of the company.
Which may be what Vince McMahon owns at this point, with how much scrambling is going around.
It's funny, because less than 1% really isn't that bad, Danny. I mean, if you've got, like, 0.9% of WWE in your hands, all you need is another 50 people who have the same amount of stock as you do. And you can cause revolution. So I don't know. I think you may be overshooting how much.
Yes, there's a slight chance. But I'll say this much. If we all buy little bits of stock and we all just come together, a million of us, because that's how much stock we'd really own, a million of us, yeah, we can probably make some change. So, yeah, just start buying stock and then start contacting those guys on the radio at gmail.com. And we'll all come together.
This sounds awesome.
What I love is that this is a revolution that will never happen. But anyway, Daniel, thank you for calling in. Of course, always happy to have you on. You know, definitely call in the future, but definitely keep on listening too. All right?
No problem. Call you on Sunday.
Yeah. Because Sunday is the battleground. It is, everyone. Sunday, battleground. And
it is.
Battleground on WWE Network. And also, by the way, if you want to call and talk about whatever specific segment we are talking about, definitely call in. The number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. Daniel knew it because he's actually one of our resident callers. He always loves to call in, and definitely call in too. I mean, you see how much fun he had, how he lost faith in the company. You should call in as well. Maybe you'll just stop watching altogether. Oh, God, what are we doing? Now I really have to ask, what are we doing? The Sonic segment. Here's the thing. Here's what's really funny. They move away from promoting alcoholic beverages, and for some reason, the production goes down. How did that happen?
This is the way they use Damian Sandow for the week, and B, that they almost made Rose heelish in his, like, I hated it. Because, you don't deserve that. He probably paid for it.
Well, it was weird. He was in the out. I was confused because I was it was hard to hear a bit.
He was in the outfit as, what seemed like an employee thing.
So what I think he was trying to say, I think what they were trying to go for was, you dastardly wabbit. You dressed up as an employee to take that cheesy, delicious thing.
I mean, if they weren't that clear about it, in my opinion.
They weren't. But I think that's what they were going for because, again, he was dressed up. He said, get out of here. And clearly Damian Sandow does not work for Sonic. So I will admit, if they keep on using him this way, there's a chance that it will happen eventually. But right now, he does not work for Sonic, right? So it's just kind of, and it's funny because if you watch USA every single week, the Sonic commercials are on USA, separate from Raw. So it's really funny how Raw kind of went, or WWE kind of went, we need money. Could we, promote those guys that, the USA promotes, please? Which ones? Just all of them, please? it's that kind of desperation. Just, we need this. Imagine just having a Caucasian older British woman just coming onto the screen just going, Vince McMahon owned two corporate jets. Now he only owns one. The McMahon family were once a billion-dollar company, and now they only own 500 million. These people are hungry. These people need food. They've currently cut catering to all of their staff.
This one's true, by the way.
Actually, that one's true.
They are cutting catering and backstage, I guess just the overall conditions and stuff. I forgot exactly what it was. But, catering at their events now is being cut down. And it's part of Vince's, super budget cut plan.
Which is crazy because, I'll be honest, I do think they should have catering. I know it might sound silly to some, why do they need to? Listen, with the stuff that these guys get put through, give them some food, damn it. With the stuff that they get put through night after night after night, give them some food, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. It's funny. Where it's just, if you wonder why people start making mistakes and start slipping up and start doing, whatever happens. It's they're getting hungry, you're overworking them. You're probably not even paying them enough for some. Things happen. It's very interesting. I would love to see an actual documentary, based on what goes on behind the scenes, especially during budget cut times. Because you really have to just imagine that everyone's just, in a way, even though they love what they're doing, they love the wrestling, they love, when they get to see some of these kids and how the kids are really just loving them and going nuts for them. But at the same time, I wonder if at the end of the day they just go, yeah, where it's just, it's just hard for them to really kind of not just be going through the motions and not even realize what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Sonic thing, trying to jump back to that. Yeah, they really, and I understand, here's the thing, by the way, I'm actually cool with things like this. I think that these things like this are just fine. The problem is that you need to put work into it. Because other than the fact that it was an alcoholic beverage that they were promoting, iced tea, by the way, Twisted Tea, which is just like iced tea, but with a kick, right? I actually enjoyed the, because I didn't realize that.
Swerve,
it sounded
that
like
kick is alcohol.
So, Yeah, that's the issue. But other than that, I have to say that I really enjoyed that. I thought it was funny. I thought both Santino and, you know, and Rose delivered. And I didn't even realize, because I don't know anything about Twisted Tea, until I actually saw a Twisted Tea commercial, and I realized, oh, Where the Kick is a Twisted Tea thing. Because it just felt so organic that it actually felt like WWE wrote it, in a way, where it just felt really, it felt good. You know, I was like, oh, this is funny, haha. You know, it actually, the Raw wasn't so good, you know, up until, in my opinion, that point. You know, the Raw that they showed that on. It was really fun. This is just did not do that. It was just very awkward, and yeah, it made Rose
seem
like...
this one was really forced.
Yeah, it made Rose seem like he was just, I don't know, like he just...
And he didn't wrestle again, by the way.
Yeah, because of this, neither did Sandow. They just assume that this is how they're using them for the week.
Yeah, like, is that how it works? Like, how disappointing is that? Like, oh yeah, you're on Raw, yay! You're going to be doing just a segment.
Here's the thing. I feel like every single time someone says that, like, you know, like they just, like, kind of kick the dirt and they're sad, they're sitting down, and Zack Ryder walks right past them and goes, shh, you stop it. And then they go, you know, like Rose, like, you know what? You're right, Zack. I'll be happy with where I am. And then he walks away. Zack still immediately just, oh, by the way, to our resident fact checker, Maddie, and anyone else who, you know, wants to hear, Zack Ryder was at Madison Square Garden. He wrestled. He lost to Bo. It was actually I was very happy to see him. I gave him a standing ovation. I mean, that man deserved all the woos he could get. I wanted him to just look up and just see me wooing and think, that's my fan. So
you're not, Maddie.
No, but seriously, I wanted him to see, just to be like, oh, because it was upsetting because people were, anyone who was smart enough to realize that what Bo was doing was mean, you know, were, you know, booing against Bo, you know, for Ryder. But at the same time, of course, Bo is so entertaining that a lot of people that are around our age were cheering Bo anyway. So it was a very awkward situation. So I wanted, I wanted Bo to understand that I would boo him. I was booing him. It's only because keep up with the act, right? So I was booing Bo. And I wanted to let Zack Ryder know, hey, I enjoy your work. Keep on at it. Just keep on wrestling, Zack, even though no one will see you.
I feel so bad about, like, you're so mean to the people that Maddie likes, and at the same time, I'm also really mean to them. And
I sound like I'm being mean. I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. I love Zack Ryder. Like, there was no, like, sarcasm
with
that.
Sure,
I was really
do,
happy to see him.
I'm sure.
Like, I know I'm being serious. Like, I got up.
I know you are.
Like, not many people got up.
It sounds like you really believe in what you're saying.
Actually, it was great. Speaking of Bo Dallas, he actually cut an amazing promo where he was just there and he was just saying, it's so cute. First off, we'll talk about the early promo. Let's talk about the fact that when Zack lost, because obviously Zack lost. Sorry. So Bo got down on one knee and he said, hey, little guy, Zack? And Zack is just there lying on the ground dying. And Bo gets up and he says, it's okay, everyone. Because he might not be able to stand up now, but one day he will. And he isn't a loser because of it. He's a winner, the winner at life. And you can win too. You just have to believe. And I'm sitting here like, oh, God, you son of a, like, ugh. I wanted to punch him in his awesome face. But yeah. And by the way, it did take Zach a little while to get up. It was kind of upsetting. I was like, damn it. Why are you all going along with this? Why can't Zack Ryder be John Cena and just get up immediately?
Nobody can be John Cena.
I feel like everyone on the roster should get one John Cena card, at least just one, where, like, Zack Ryder could be put through, like, everyone's finisher and then just get up and just broski boot everyone. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
That's just really
everyone
interesting
gets
to
one.
Think of.
Like, everyone gets one. Just everyone, they only get one chance in their career. It's
Maddie
like money
just
in the bank.
Your Bo voice, by the way.
Oh, thank you. So moving forward, let's go to that little thing, that Uso entrance thing that I actually really enjoyed, because I sat there thinking, you know, I love the Usos, you know, entrance, but I still sat there thinking, oh, yeah, they're going to do the Uso entrance. And then they didn't. They just got beat up. I was like, oh. I was like, this is, like, if anything in the night was actually spontaneous, that was it. That was the highlight of the night. I don't know
for
what
you?
That really says to the night, but that was the highlight, I think, of the night.
Mm-hmm.
The Usos going to say, you know, their chant, and then just, nope. That was the only real thing tonight.
The only thing that worried me is that what it did was it put the Wyatts on top of them. And, you know, the whole logic of coming in strong out of the go-home show means you're not winning.
Which is always frightening, yes. But it's weird, though, because they have been inverting that. If you want to use the word trope, they've been inverting that trope for a bit now because I think they've realized people caught on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know this is a heel thing, so that always is hard to tell, but they really have, you know, been changing that up a bit here and there. Where, I mean, you know, where you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, hell, even you look at Roman Reigns, who stood tall. Of course, that wasn't the plan, but Roman Reigns stood tall. Actually, that probably was the plan, but Rollins would have been taken out somewhere in the middle. Reigns stood tall. Obviously, he's not going to win, but it's still kind of good for his, you know, for how he looks. And for all we know, I mean, hell, Cena could have been transitioned to Reigns, which will be transitioned to Lesnar, just to say, screw you all, you thought you thought we knew what we were doing, but no. Like, imagine that, ha-ha, you thought we knew what we were doing, but actually, we didn't know.
Mm.
But seriously, though, that Swagger, Coulter, Rusev, Lana, interview segment
okay,
by
so
Michael
that's where
Cole.
We are.
Yeah, that's where we are now. That's where we've gotten to. I don't know how to feel about that, actually. Because I think that it has the potential of actually being the highlight of the night, for real. But it didn't deliver as well as it should have. And I'm really wondering what happened there. Yeah, can you, like, help me here? Like, what happened?
All right, well, first off, Lana did the thing that we all hate, which is, for some reason... Not only did she, by the way, randomly emphasize the word stupid like 3,000 times, which became irritating.
Because she kept on saying it over and over. That was her only thing for the first 2 minutes.
You Americans are stupid. I am calling you stupid Americans who are stupid. You are stupid because your person here is stupid. And you just, it was like, oh my God, shut up.
But you know who's not stupid? Vladimir Putin.
This leads into that, basically. Like,
right.
Okay, she always finds a way to name drop Vladimir Putin. Which in the beginning made sense, and she was getting heel heat for it. I am becoming very convinced that every time she's about to name drop Vladimir Putin, not only can everybody in the audience tell, but everybody gets these kind of like, oh my God, disgust feelings. You know?
Right.
Not heel heat, but go home heat, like get off my TV kind of thing.
Yeah, which is
and
a huge issue. And she gets that
is.
From me. She gets that from
and again,
me, a guy who really likes her, you know, likes everything that she does, honestly. Like, she's,
yeah.
There was a point where she was just amazing, and now it's an issue because she gets Xbox heat for me whenever she says, shut up.
Yeah, she's been weakened, and I hate it because she does this thing now where apparently she cares about the crowd and will tell them to shut up. And it's so
Which
annoying
is funny.
Because she came up
it's
as strong
new.
And powerful and confident. And her guy is dominating. You know, he has yet to lose. So there is no reason she should want to acknowledge these people as, you know, irritating her. And instead it's just like they're getting in her head, which makes no sense because he's winning.
Yeah, it makes no sense, and it sucks because all I have to do is mention is the fact that, you know, and it's seriously, it's all it is a throwaway line that we would be extremely happy about. All they need to say is, oh, well, the problem, you know, it's like, you can have JBL. I don't know why she's so upset. I mean, Rusev is winning. Well, I think the problem is, you know, she wants her message to spread, and it clearly isn't spreading. And it's like, oh, that actually makes sense. But WWE is never one for subtlety, and that's the problem. They're either throwing a brick at you, or they're asking you to, you know, just watch the show. Like, there's never a sense of, well, here's the underlying layers of what they're doing here. Sadly, that doesn't happen. Sadly, if Vince, and again, I feel as if Vince or someone who goes, I don't really get it. Sir, there's nuance. And then Vince hands them a brick. You know, where it's just, again, if it's not being chucked at you at full force, they're clearly not sending you anything. I wish they were, but there could be something there that connects, you know, it. Where I sadly, I think some people in the back are just thinking, no, but she's a woman. How is that a justification? No, but that's just how it is.
Yeah, I really hope not, because it's just, why would you weaken a powerful female character? You know, it's like,
exactly.
That's the last possible thing that they need.
It is. It really, really is. It's just mind-blowing, you know. And not so there was that. I just feel as if, you know, things were a bit weak. I think things were a bit weak on both sides, I feel. You know, because, I mean, well, first off, obviously, you know, she's right. America is stupid, you know, and, I mean, yeah, you know, America is stupid, duh. But just saying it over and over again was an issue. I do think that Zeb just didn't really have so much to say, I think, because, you know, I think he's just a great heel, where when he's a heel, he's so funny and entertaining that people will still go, that guy's funny with how stupid he's acting,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas a face, if it's not USA, what does he have to say? I didn't mean for that to rhyme. But it's true. It's accurate. What does he have to say other than USA? You know, and then when he mentions, and then he mentions the president, which is, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny how even though they had to mention the president, they still kind of had the Republican Party thing kind of going in there where it's like, you don't have to like him, but he is
yeah.
our president.
I thought that was
funny.
Cool because that was basically, you know, his way of basically clearing up anyone saying, like, but Zeb's obviously a Republican. Why would he support Obama? Just basically
exactly.
like, I'm not supporting Obama. I am supporting the presidency of the United States, which is a noble kind of thing. So that was – the thing is, like, as bad as I thought Lana's section was, I'll be honest, I thought Zeb's was that good. Like,
he's fitting this role really well. It is. Yeah, I don't know. I think they just wrote a bit too much for him, and he kind of – without probably even meaning to, maybe they just wrote this in. It sounded like he got a bit sexist. I don't know if it's just me, but it's a thing where, and it's
it might be your racism,
because
we all know you're racist with the whole Hispanic thing that we had a few weeks ago. But,
Zeb,
you know.
I feel like you're tying this in a way that WWE would tie things in. It doesn't make sense to most. But
yeah,
I'll say this much.
Yeah,
yeah,
it makes sense
yeah,
to our viewers. Viewers,
that's,
listeners.
That's actually on video. Which, what's funny, yes, I don't know if I'm flattering right now. But anyway, what I'm seeing is yeah, he's old, and it kind of fits his character in a way because he's old, but it's just the fact that he just, when saying something like, oh, I know who wears the skirts, who wears the pants, I don't know. I feel like we're in a society
yeah, I mean,
where we
that
really
part wasn't
see,
cool, like the whole talking to Rusev and saying, like, oh, you know, when are you going to, step in front of the
yeah,
woman. Like, that was just old school, like, be a man because being a woman is bad, like, kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
that's a huge issue on a night, you know, on it's just a huge issue, I think. I really, it just...
I mean, in contrast to the fact that they're obviously weakening Lana's character, yeah, that is a huge issue. But
exactly.
I guess, like, and that sucks, you know. But the crowd is eating this shit up, unfortunately. To the point where,
that's what I'm saying, where,
you know,
the most active part
of the night was Jack Swagger. I mean, he got the loudest cheers of the entire night, even more than Roman Reigns, which I think is hilarious.
You see, that's the thing, where you're going to argue, you know, like, or not maybe you, but in general, someone will argue, well, they're going to eat it up. They're going to eat it up either way, you know? If Seth
yeah.
did not say those few things. It's not going
to
go, like, yeah, exactly.
Up.
Like, I don't think there are that many people that are going to go, he didn't insult Lana for being a woman. How the fuck is that guy American? Like there's no thing to tie in. You know, and of course, Seb is a face now. So, yes, he's going to still say some bad things maybe to some heels, but he doesn't have to go there. Like, that's just a thing where it's just, like, I really wonder if John Cena puts on a pair of glasses, maybe decides to put on a shirt, maybe, I don't know, but he puts on a pair of glasses. He stands in a classroom and he goes, this is how you demean your opponent. And someone goes, do I call him bad wrestler? No, you do not. Well, then what do? Make sure to say that they don't have a pair of genitals. And if they don't already have a pair of genitals, laugh at them in because of the fact that they don't have that said shit, you know, that said pair of genitals. All right? We're good there? Okay.
Yeah, it's such a problem.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. Do they have tits or do they not? And I only use that word because that's the word John Cena would use in class. So...
Yeah, it's just a matter of, like, how – why is there a company-wide logic of opponent demeaning based on, well, you're a woman, not a man, or you like men, you're kind of gay, or something like that. You know, like, why are being a woman and being gay – things that can be somehow used as a negative thing. And then, but on top of that, and this is part of what I was arguing with you last night, why are people okay with this? Why are people cheering that on? You know, that still kind of pisses me off.
Right. Because
you know,
they haven't had anything, like, gay male centered, strangely. I think it's because maybe of the Darren Young situation. They really stay away from calling someone homosexual, like, you know, a man calling another man homosexual. But when it comes to women, yes, on Saturday, we talked on the phone, by the way, not live on the air. On Saturday, though, when they had this segment with, you know, Layla and Summer Rae, thank you, yeah. I'm just so angered that I'm trying to put it away. It was infuriating because the crowd was like, yeah, they should kiss. And what got me so angry, which I haven't let the listeners know yet, there was a freaking sea of neon green. You know? Neon green meaning John Cena shirts, kids, John Cena fans, and the parents who brought them to the show. So it really kind of angers me that this is what the WWE is teaching children. Because there's a difference between having, let's say, something like TNA, which arguably shouldn't be for children, or maybe even like an HBO level, like on HBO, a wrestling show, where it's like, whoa, why is Game of Thrones in my, you know, why is the Game of Thrones sexual situations in my wrestling show? It's like, well, because kids shouldn't be watching. And for some reason, that's adult. Like, all right, fair enough. But when you come down to it, this is something that everyone should be able to come together and watch. You know?
Yeah,
this
I guess...
I'm sorry to interrupt. I would like to put it out there. There's nothing wrong about exploring sexuality or anything like that. It's the fact that this came out of nowhere. There was no build up to them being, lesbian, and the fact that they just, I don't want the association to be. That's why they don't like Fandango, right? Because again, little children are there. And all they're seeing is, so those girls were going to kiss, and everyone was happy, and then they didn't, and everyone, you know, booed. So that's what I should do, be mean when girls don't kiss. Like, that's just crazy little child associations that should not be at a wrestling show, because the key word is wrestling. But, sorry to interrupt, please continue.
No, because the point we were arguing is that you were arguing more that this is WWE's fault, and my point of view also is that it's also the crowds. You know, and
fair
this
enough.
Is weird for me to say because me being a wrestling fan myself, I'm obviously, like, shooting on myself here. But part of it, like, WWE is stupid for doing these kind of angles and making these kind of things, like, a generic way to insult your opponent or these segments commonplace with women and such. That's bad on them. But it also sucks that they'll throw this out there and not many people will call them on their shit. You know? Like... And it sucks, and I'm not saying that we don't, because obviously you do alongside with me, right?
Right.
And then, you know, the people that we talk to, a lot of them on CSS, Maddie and Mona, they'll call them out in their shit, too. It's very obvious. It's transparent. We can see through that. But
why
is the general population still supporting that? You know, why isn't there more? And, you know, the other day we saw the media go ahead and do this little piece about the way they treat minorities. I mean, that's just grazing the fucking surface.
Right.
You know,
the more we
do this podcast, the more cynical I get with WWE, because there's minority problems. There's sexuality problems. There's sexism, you know?
Right.
There's a lot of shit going on.
It's very interesting because we could actually argue with all things that are going on that things have gotten better, which becomes scary with how worse they once were, which you can actually see on the damn WWE network. Now damn goes in front of it because, dear God, you can probably see some of the terrible things that happened in the 90s, in the Attitude Era, because of, the WWE. But what matters is, again, I think we are getting better. One day we'll get better, and things like the media coming out and things. And I want to say that I feel as if, here's the thing, 4 million, I know it sounds like, well, you know, the general population, what? Here's the thing, I feel like compared to other shows' ratings, they get a lot more people involved and invested, and you'll see, like, WWE, 4 million isn't actually a lot. So, in theory, if they actually, in my opinion, got rid of most of the sexism and the racism and things like that, we could actually get twice as many, because in my opinion, what's going on here is, see, the people that are watching are like, you know, there are some that are like you and me that are complaining. And we might be a minority, but I don't think that we're, you know, very, like, we're only, you know, a couple hundred or something. I feel like there are a lot of us that complain. But, of course, we still watch because we hope that things change. And, of course, there are some entertaining acts involved, right? Then, yes, there are people who don't, you know, who aren't, you know, who sadly aren't questioning it. But, dear God. Let's not even get into why they're not questioning it, because that has to deal with the media, society, the way your parents raised you, I mean, God, so many things that we've... It would take
too
long.
That could lead me on a whole other non-wrestling,
me
on my
there.
High horse rant, you know?
Yeah.
And that's
but
for
I'll
another
say that
day.
But they're there, obviously.
Right,
you know,
but
they're there.
Part of it, too, is
it's
like,
just
okay,
that we watch.
With the network, too, right? I mean, if you want to... The network being out, now is an excellent time to pitch to anybody, quote-unquote, why you should get into wrestling thing, you know? Because with the network, you now have easy access to basically tell someone, hey, get into wrestling, find a way to love it, and I can give you the whole background of the history and all this kind of stuff because it's readily available. And you can continuously get into this for a relatively affordable price. And, you know, watch weekly with some people who are, you know, there are communities now for you.
Right.
So there's no better time than now in terms of, like, the reach of wrestling, regardless of content, not discussing content. There is no better time to get into wrestling because of the access of the access of all the stuff and the communities, all this stuff. So with... Now looking at the content, it's hard then to argue to people to get into wrestling because accessibility-wise, yeah, you're through the roof. That's great. But they actually have to like what's on the TV. And with more and more people being educated to, like, the world of, you know, that not everybody's a guy or a girl or male or female. They identify with different genders. They may identify as neither or both. You know, not everybody has to be straight or Christian. Not everybody... has to be white to succeed, like all this kind of stuff that may seem commonplace for you and I and a lot of people that we know. But not everyone is thought that way. And with a lot of people being educated to that, a lot of people being involved in that on a daily basis, you bring them to wrestling and you say, I want you to like wrestling. And then they immediately see a segment like that where it's like, so one of the common insults is, hey, step out of your, you know, get your woman in line or... Why is your woman controlling you, blah, 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 like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's probably going to turn off new people. And it's like the product has you
and
even need
funny
really
is,
dedicated people to bring you in.
And I say funny a lot, and I mean funny because it is kind of laughable in a very – and I laugh to hide pain. So it's funny in a way because all you had to do was change the line to you're going to let someone else stand, someone who isn't a wrestler – stand in front of you and say things because guess what? Guess what? I stand in front of, you know, Jack every week, but he gets the job done. You know, you have not stepped into the ring with, you know, my man who wants to step into the ring. Why aren't you doing this? You know, why are you letting someone step? Someone, that's all.
Yeah,
it doesn't
it's
have
funny.
To be. Why are you as a man letting your woman...
Something as small as that could really change the direction of the statement. But it's lazy writing, and this is why I was kind of saying the whole creative thing, to me, sometimes doesn't work, because
the
they're
is,
still stuck in the circle of, you know, why you got to let your woman make
it's
decisions
just,
for you as
just,
an insult?
No, but that's the thing. It just worries me, because, again, where it just makes me wonder where that came from, though. Like, did that come from creative? Did that come from McMahon? Did that come from Dunn? Did that come from Zeb himself? Because, yes, he's an old guy, and I wouldn't put it past him, even though I like Zeb as an actor, you know, as an actor and what he brings to, you know, to the microphone. Did that come from Zeb himself in an ad-lib moment where you would hope that in a company that isn't WWE, that really does have, he would be brought to the back and said, you're off for SmackDown. You're off for a week. We're going to leak it that you said something sexist on air, and that was bad. You know? That's what I'm saying, where... You would hope it's something like that, and I would assume it's something like, you know, one of those three. I don't feel as if creative did sit there and do this themselves. You know, if they did, hey, we have NXT creative coming up. That's better.
Even if you want to sit there and say, all right, creative didn't write those words for him, they've written the story, and I guess, like, the situation warrants – because Zeb being old, I can understand him saying that. It doesn't make it acceptable. But,
no, not at all.
You know, I can
that's
understand
why I said,
it coming
take
from
them
his
off
mouth.
Oh, for a week.
But at the same time, this is an environment where it's permitted, you know, where creative will pat him on the back or people will be like, yeah, good promo, Zeb, good promo. And it was, for the most part, a good promo, you know, and it sucks because, like, that can take away from it. Like, I was very happy with most of the stuff that he said, his delivery, everything. But that ending part just kind of, like, tilts it where it's like, Zeb, that's not necessary. Like you said, there's no one who's going to sit there and be like, no, he's un-American because he didn't say that, you know, Rusev is being controlled by a woman or didn't insult women. Like, it just it doesn't jive
with
me.
And if someone out there
does
this
stuff doesn't jive with me.
And it's funny. And I say funny because if you do, you know, make us laugh and make yourself laugh. If you do know someone who does feel that way, who does Ross wrestling, point them towards the door. You know, we don't need that here. So make us all happy. Make yourself happy. Make yourself smile and laugh. Just point them towards the door because we don't need anyone like that. Not even listening to our podcast. Just get just and listen, you know, actually watching WWE. Or
no,
know,
I
don't
disagree.
Need, because
see, I wouldn't point them to the door. You educate them.
Here's the thing. I mean, yes, if they're young, yes, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's, I don't know.
I butt heads with a lot of old people because at the end of the day, I'd rather get into the fight than let them just pass because they still have
that's
a voice.
True.
And a lot of times I'm going to get shut down. Why? Because I'm young and apparently that means I'm stupid. Great. That's a thought process that needs to be shut down too because I can fucking bring it and I'm being honest. So it just really ticks me off sometimes where I'd rather get into the fight and sometimes I know it's a pointless venture than let it pass because it's better to have tried to educate
well,
them.
Well, I mean, telling them to leave will start something. I mean, they won't just say, thank you for your opinion. You know, it'll start something. I mean, I'll say that much. Telling them to stop watching wrestling, something that they may have seen for a very long time, which is why this
is
ingrained in them.
I hope we get some kind of call next week of some angry people that are just like, you think I should leave wrestling? You going to try to take my guns next? And I
that
would
be amazing,
off.
Actually. That would make me extremely happy. It would be callers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to lie. And we get to argue with people, which is also really cool. Speaking of moving away from
that's
a very
real.
Important
yep.
issue, a very important issue, I want to mention one more thing before we move on. I hate house shows. I love the house show that I went to. I'm going to another one in December, the Christmas tour, December 26th. But I want to say that I hate house shows if only because R-Truth had an amazing match, which I did not hate, amazing match with Rusev, right? He lost to Rusev, which I didn't even hate either because that's what's going to happen, just like Bo's going to win no matter who he fights at a house show. They're not going to break the kayfab thing right there for a house show, right? Rusev wins. Swagger comes down to the ring. Both Lana and Zeb cut a really good promo, nothing sexist as far as I remember, really good promo. Zeb says, how about you step in the ring with my man right now? And it happens. They have a fight in the ring. Rusev versus Swagger. They fight.
Mm-hmm.
And Swagger loses in under a minute in a squash match. Swagger taps. What the hell are we doing here? And then they have the audacity. Of course house shows don't matter. I understand that. But they have the audacity to have a Monday Night Raw where it's, and you've not even once fought my guy. He lost to him. I saw it live. I could literally have video evidence, and we have the internet. Maybe Zeb doesn't understand the internet, but people in the back should. Bookers.
This is something that happens all the time. I mean, I think when we had our John Cena Bray Wyatt thing, where they were,
right?
John routinely beat him in, like, cage matches at house shows and shit. So
yes, okay, but was John? Well, then again, well, okay, yeah.
It's
I was
the same
about
thing.
To say. Was
house
John
shows
an
don't
unbeatable
matter.
Force of nature?
House shows don't matter.
I know, but it was under a minute. I would argue 5 second squash match where he actually made him submit. Why did there need to be a match? Is what I'm saying. It's just a weird experience for me. Where it's just why?
Well, Rusev's
going to
beat him that easily
that?
On Sunday, so it's not like it's going to be something new.
I'm hoping he actually, if he beats him that easy on Sunday, I'm going to laugh extremely hard because where does that leave these guys? Where does that leave Swagger, who is getting yes-level pops, and Coulter? Where does that leave them?
I would like him to go after ADR.
I guess. Speaking of, well, actually not speaking of just yet because we actually had a Cena Reigns segment, which, again, speaking of out of character people. Is it just me or did Cena seem like a really young, inexperienced face? Right?
It cracked me up almost because it was like,
yeah.
John, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like, I'm happy that they're not trying to make Reigns that way, obviously, but it's like, John, like, what are you doing? Like, John, like, I wanted to look at him and, like, I wanted to walk into the screen and, like, kind of give him a little hug and be like, John, you're the champion.
Yeah, I wanted to punch him
just,
to be like, John,
yeah, like,
you're a 15-time world champion.
You've
that, been
no.
here many, 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 many times.
Yeah, no. A few things. John, you're the champion. And not only, again, like you said, 15-time world champion, but John, you're almost 40. And he looks at me with these big wide eyes and goes, where's the time gone? You know, it's just, John, you've done so much in your career. You have a career, you know? Other people are just starting out. You have a career.
You fight, and the years go by, and you look yourself in the mirror, and there's no man left. Because all you've been doing is fighting. You don't enjoy the years anymore, Matt. And John breaks down, explodes, and life goes on.
Reigns is standing there, still holding his fist, nodding. Cool. Just nothing changed. No expression.
Sadness reigns over the arena. Reigns is cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Reigns, why aren't you excited? You've got a chance. He smiles. I'm only happy when it rains.
Yeah.
And
also,
just walks
you
out
how King,
in the distance. You hear, yeah.
I want to ask you something. Did you notice how King completely screwed up the call, by the way?
What, for the match or for the...
Yes. No. For the lead-in, when he said, it's going to be this team versus Cena and Rollins.
He had to apologize on the commercial break back. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, I didn't hear it. That's hilarious.
Because originally he said John Cena and Seth Rollins. And,
and
apparently he got murdered on Twitter. Because when the commercial break came back, he was like, I'm sorry about those of you who are killing me on social media. I made a slip. It's John Cena and Roman Reigns.
I actually didn't hear that.
That was the opening, his opening line after they came back from commercial.
Sadly, USA.
And I think that
led
into the ADR RVD match, if I'm...
USA strikes again. But anyway, because I thought, oh, they really should have him say something, and then I did not hear anything. Because, again, USA strikes again. So, but rather, Time Warner strikes again. But, so that was upsetting, because I didn't really think I missed that, because, you know, whatever, it was the entrances. But, yeah, of course, I mean, I know he's old, but it's just how out of it do you have to be? You know, where it's just, I mean, I can understand, like, slip-ups happen. Like, in the ring, I would slip up. You would slip up in the ring, you know, because you're talking about these two guys, and you're saying, oh, yeah, they're both, you know, like, oh, you know, so-and-so is really cool. Which one? So it can, in your mind, you can categorize, you know, flip things around. But when you're talking about the match, looking down at the screen, so, again, I assume that what they've laid on the Titantron was on their screen, right? Going, yes, that team versus that team, right? When you're saying it's going to be this guy, and this guy versus the, you know, the next guy and then the guy from the other team. Fuck. Like, whoa. Like I'm really nervous for King. Like, King, you should probably take a nap.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to everybody. I slip all the time if I don't, you know, get my required, like, half hour of sleep, you know? So that one's not a big thing.
I understand, but that was just a weird slip, I feel. You know, like, in the ring, I actually understand when people slip up in the ring, you know, where they might slip up someone's name. But it's very interesting when it's just the card is right there. The card has already been announced, too. It's there. Also, what was kind of funny was that at first they didn't have a Photoshop version without Ambrose. And I like that because it made it seem like it was more real. Had they immediately had a Photoshop version without Ambrose, I actually would have been upset, and we would have talked about it on this podcast.
Yeah,
as silly as that might sound. You know, it's like that. Because that's something they used to do, where it'd be like, oh, no, the person isn't on the card anymore. How did you guys make that so fast? It's literally been 5 minutes. How did that was pretty quick. Anyway, ADR versus RVD. You know, by the way, did you see RVD tap? Because it was hard for me to see. I thought
he tapped as soon as it was applied.
Okay. Because I was like, did he say that he quit? Because he was moving his mouth, and I thought I heard I quit or something.
No, he tapped as soon as it was applied, and then you saw
That's
him,
funny.
Like, do this weird thing with his fist that may have confused
right.
you, because you were just like, did he tap? But, I'm thinking back to the end of the match, so that must have been weird. But he tapped as soon as it was applied.
Okay, fair enough. And, I mean, I'm happy ADR won because, you know, I love RVD. And I do think that RVD needs a win or two to, you know, like, make sure that he can, you know, like, when someone beats him, they think incredible. But, I mean, ADR has been losing to everyone lately. And when RVD came out, I was so nervous because I thought, oh, God, you know, the whole, oh, RVD has to beat people to seem credible. That's who ADR is going to be, the guy that RVD beats. That's what I was seriously sitting here thinking. I was like, all right, this is the guy that RVD beats up. Because he's new, but he's not that new.
Yeah, I was wondering what the hell was going on, because to me, I thought RVD was going to win. And, excuse me for a second, this raw puts me to sleep. So, I thought RVD was going to win, and I sat there, I was like, there is literally no point to this match. And
the point, actually, here's the thing. There were points to matches tonight, and the point was, sadly, I understand if you're going to say this,
but the Battle Royale?
Why is it all the same point? Yeah, because these are people who are in the Battle Royale.
I know, but it's just kind of weird because it's like, it's not like it's a 6-man Battle Royale, it's a 20-man Battle Royale. So
you're going to hopefully have different sets of matches with different superstars tomorrow and not use Ziggler, Fandango, ADR, you know, RVD, the people who were on tonight who are in the Battle Royale. You're going to
I guess I'll be pleased.
If it isn't, I'll get you completely. I'll get you completely. It's not. At least if, you know, half of the opponents are new at the least, you know. But if they're not, I'll agree with you 100%. You know, yeah. So, Nikki Bella versus Alicia Fox and Cameron. It's kind of funny. I want to mention this to you. Speaking of John Cena not running in to save people, we haven't even mentioned this, I think, on the podcast, which is really funny because it's just, John Cena's married to that woman, to that Nikki Bella woman.
He's married?
Fact? Well, not really. I'm sorry. I lied. But you know what I mean? Well, in her mind, they're married. But the point is that they're
that's scary.
They're close enough. You know what I mean?
Married to Paige. That means nothing.
Yeah, basically. That's basically the thing. It means nothing. But I'll admit, she wants to get married. Yeah, I do. She really
should go out and
get
a drink sometime. I understand your pain.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. But as I go quiet.
Unrequited
but seriously,
love.
Though, for Nikki Bella, that's not a knock on Nikki Bella. That's just the fact that, like, you go from Paige to Nikki Bella, and I start to question your sanity.
No, I'm really interested in Paige. I have no interest in Nikki Bella as a human, as a wrestler, as an extension of Brie Bella. Nope, nothing. Nothing at all.
But I will say this much. Seriously, though, they're not married. I don't know why I thought they were married. Raw did this to me.
It is funny for you. I see the point you're making that, you know, John does nothing to help his
fiancée
or anything of that nature.
No, even the people John loves. Like, it comes to a point where it's like, John, why were you mad about your dad? You brought him to all the shows.
Yeah,
God, you did this for the ratings, Sean.
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like it's funny because I don't even want to harp on that because I know you're just being obtuse to be funny. But, man, John doesn't help anybody. But at the same time, all right, Nikki Bella seems
in a, way
a
I'm
bit
serious
more over
only,
than I thought she would be.
In a way, I'm serious, if only because if John wasn't involved in the authority at all, I'd be like, all right, this is just, you know, a sister-sister thing. Like, push John aside, whatever, right? No. John is currently involved in saying, screw you, authority. And then it's like, yeah, well, we're going to screw with your, you know, with your girlfriend. Yeah, well, I mean, that's all she really is, right?
By the way, I know some people are probably sitting there thinking, they've never acknowledged it on air. They have acknowledged it on Total Divas. And Total Divas matters, according to WWE.
But here's the thing,
so
you know, they have acknowledged it, like you said.
Canon, using their own canon, John Cena and Nikki Bella being a thing matters. And
exactly.
John doesn't
Total Divas does matter. They've used it for storylines before, and it
and
is
John
also currently. No, yeah, and it's also on the network, by the way. Recently, the first season is being uploaded to the network. I assume
you
after
can
that
actively watch John being a control freak,
and then not be because you know it's weird. John's weird. John's weird. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they've acknowledged it on Total Divas. Yes, not on Raw. Fair enough. You know. People will be coming at me all, they haven't acknowledged it on the show. Yeah, but they'll use storylines from it. So it's just something that should really be, like, how are you not going to do that? How are you honestly not going to do that? And again, just John, and it sounds funny. Like, oh, come on, guys, stop. Because John is currently up the authority's ass. He is in their business trying to make sure that, you know, that everything goes right. And by everything goes right, that means that he keeps the championships. Technically two, because, you know, and no one else gets them. And if, you know, oh, that Ambrose guy, why'd you go help him? Well, maybe he'd come after my title. Like, John! That's how it feels after a while. You know? Well, they wouldn't help me. John! Like, you know, like, you're supposed, like, again, if you went to this house show, right, anyone who's listening thinking, Matt, just stop. If you went to this house show these kids worship him. If John Cena was in the ring and said, you should probably kill your parents, right? The kids will ask, how, John? How do you want it, sir?
Yeah,
like,
they are
in love with this guy. It's insanity.
It's definitely an over-the-top example, but it really is one of those when you say jump, the kids say how high things.
It's no,
you
that's
know,
the thing. That's
I agree.
It's crazy, you know. Like, to anyone who hasn't been to a house show, please somehow scrounge up some cash, do something. Just go to one. Doesn't matter where you are. Just go to a house show, and you'll see that. Damn. Like, if you think on, you know, on TV, oh yeah, it's funny how, you know, the Let's Go Cena chants are at a higher octave than the Cena Sucks chants. No, just go to a house show, and you'll realize that, you know, you're sitting around them. They're all around you. The kids. And then their parents, who are just like, yeah, I'll support my child by also dressing up in the neon green shirts.
That's why I'm not having children, Matt.
Hmm?
They're going to grow up to like John Cena, and I'm going to hate them.
See, that's the thing. I feel like you would be a good enough parent to show them quality, where you just would only show them, like, CM Punk and Ring of Honor. So when that Cena guy comes up, they're the only ones with the high-pitched voices screaming, Cena sucks. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like with you being the, you know, the Batman to someone's Robin, you know, to someone being Robin, you can mold them into that kind of CM Punk loving,
I have parents.
Loving, AJ loving.
I have parents. I'm poor, and I'm not athletic. In no way can I be Batman.
I mean, yeah, but still. Also, the match between Nikki Bella and Alicia Fox, you know, Cameron, whatever, wasn't a bad match, actually. But
no, Alicia Fox
just
continues to do the little things right. Where's Brie now?
Yeah.
Screaming that kind
really
of stuff
fun.
During the
was,
match. You know.
Yeah, it was fun. I just, what's, although I, what I want to say is really funny to me, I mean, I find this hilarious. I don't know if you noticed this. When people break up, right, when tag teams break up, it's because of people getting pushes. I really find it hilarious how Cameron just finds herself into another tag team. Like, that's how much they believe in you, Cameron. You just find yourself on another tag team, and then the announce team goes, they're pretty good together, aren't they? That's
yep.
how much
and
they
I guess
believe
they're
going
to become a thing because heels stick together?
And here's the thing, too, by the way, quote-unquote crazy heels. Because, again, Alicia's crazy, and Cameron, not crazy, but so much as, you know what they're, you see what they're doing with her. Oh, well, she's a woman, and she's, she just immediately started becoming a crazy bitch. And it's like, well, yeah, then they're together, clearly. Right?
Oh,
so that's
boy.
What they're doing there. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what they should be doing, but clearly that's what they're kind of going for here, where it's just, why did she become so mean and jealous and whatever? It's like, well, Alicia Fox is also a bit like that, too. Oh, well, then let's put them together in the ring together.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that, yeah, the announce team said they work well together. They kind of threw it as a joke with someone like, let's say, Heath Slater and Titus O'Neil. But also, literally, Heath Slater and Titus O'Neil did not mesh at all. That was a joke, you know? Where these two, with what they've been doing with them, kind of do mesh, which is kind of... But again, Cameron, that's how much they believe in you. That's we should just focus on that. Let that sink in, right? And move forward. I am going to be... I'm going to be pre-ordering WWE 2K15.
That was a really cool promo. That was definitely one of the brightest parts of the night. I'm not even going to make a joke
and
about
it's funny
it.
Because they, like, yeah, I, we heard rumors of them looking for a Sting lookalike, and we didn't know why. We were like, what? And clearly this is what they needed him for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is really cool. And it's like, and honestly, I will be pre-ordering it. I will be, you know, obviously playing the game, but I will be honest. I won't put in any of the promo codes because if the cost space, the create a wrestler space, is less than what it was in 2K14, the game that we did not get, which in 2K14, the create a wrestler space was upped from 50 to 100, which matters when you want to stick entire rosters into your game, right?
Right.
Also, they had change up your, you know, your costume, which does matter extremely because, yeah, if you're playing a game that the character models were made 6 months ago, you're going to bet your ass that Stardust isn't going to be in the game. And it's
right.
going to be really silly to have to download an entire new Stardust character that someone will have to make, rather than just download the costume and put it as an alternative costume for Cody Rhodes. You know, it's that, it should be that simple. And hell, it could even just be the simple fact that, for all we know, I mean, thanks to Sandow has been doing his thing for a while, but they could have started creating the character models when Sandow wasn't doing so much. So for all we know, Sandow could be in there as, you know, the intellectual savior gimmick. And we're sitting there like, you know, Damian, you can be anyone on any given night, you know? But for some reason, he's still that character, you know? So you would want to be able to change his costume instead of just changing a freaking robe to black or something, to be able to make him the Sonic guy or Abraham Lincoln. You know, the memorable
one. I like that
one.
You went to the Sonic guy first. Because I'm like, what gimmick is Matt going to use to describe Damian Sandow?
You know,
Sonic
the memorable one.
That's who we all want him to be.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if people would use him as a joke, as a character in their created storyline.
I would definitely use him as a character in my storylines.
Yeah. He will be everyone. What I'll do is I'll copy the Damian Sandow call 30 times and give him different pieces of hair. So it's basically like, oh, look, it's Trish Stratus. She came back. It's just Damian Sandow with blonde hair. You know, it's just Stratus' hair, but still Damian Sandow. And that's what I would do. So I don't know where to go from here. But we have a list of things, so let's just move forward. What's funny is you have Triple H, right? And Triple H is constantly playing everyone. But and we've mentioned this before. It's you know, it's funny that he plays everyone in front of the audience, in front of cameras where other people can kind of go, is that son of a bitch playing me? Right? Just wait a minute. Like, but not even subtle about it. Just right again, bricks. Just Kane is a pawn. Our pawn, but a pawn. Just
yeah.
I know Kane's in hell, but I'm pretty sure they have television there. They air Gilmore Girls, you know, Sex in the City. Like,
it's funny
I'm
because
pretty
they
sure
do these type
yeah.
of segments a lot. Where it's like, do you realize that other superstars have access to the televisions?
Do you understand? Like, it's just really funny. Like, it's just, guys, what do you do? That and the fact that when Orton came out, he just said, sup, H. And I don't know why, but I laughed really hard. Just the word, because you say, like, he'll say, like, oh, hey, Hunter, what's up? But, like, just say, sup, H. What? I don't know why, but that really kind of just got
well,
me.
Well, they're on a first-name basis, so he doesn't need to call him Triple H. He just calls him H. Remember, his full name is H-H-H.
Yeah, exactly. That's his entire, that's his birth name.
Yeah.
Actually.
First
yeah.
name, H. Middle name, H. Last name, H.
It's fairly simple
just
to
like
remember.
Just like you watched Rock Dynamite, you know, when they did the Mr. T episode. First name, Lawrence. Middle name. Oh, no, he changed it around because he became Mr. T. First name, Mr. Middle name, period. Last name, T. That was it.
That's clearly how it works. But anyway, what I like though about this segment a bit and how it you know kind of evolves is that I feel like what they're you know doing here is they're kind of showing how it's just you know oh he's doing this he did this to the Shield right he was being cocky and he did this to the Shield now he's doing this to everyone else they're going to kind of I feel realize it and not become face necessarily but just say wait a minute. This is what the authority is doing for me. You know, I think that they're trying to make it a really slow build, but I really do think that they're trying to make it eventual, the authority crumbles kind of thing. But I think they wanted to make it slow if only because had they done, even though I think it would have been perfect, to, you know, with doing it with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30, I feel as if doing it there would have really made, you know, like would have really destroyed a lot because you would have had Kane kind of being useless in a way. Orton would have just been there. I mean, wanting his title shot, yeah, but there. You know, what would have Batista been doing? You know, after seeing what happened. So there's a lot of stuff that if the authority did crumble there, which I think, yeah, would have been perfect, would have hindered a lot of story, you know, telling.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's why they did that. And although I have to say, they really need to make Kane talk less. I mean, the second he starts actually, you know, having deductive reasoning, it doesn't make you think that he's a demon. You know, it takes away his monstrousness.
Right.
That's how I really think that they need to stop, like, having him speak at all. Just, you know, he's the demon Kane, just to have him demon some people. Pretty simple.
Well, I mean, he thinks for himself, obviously.
I guess
what bothers me is just at this point, it's hard to justify why he is the pawn of the authority.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, in the beginning, he basically was like, you can use me and stuff. But it's just like, does he really still believe in the direction they're putting him in? Because...
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
It's not guaranteed.
Like,
you know, they've been pretty unsuccessful.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I just don't know. They don't know what they're doing, which is kind of, I think, the company's motto at this point. Goldust and Stardust. I'm happy that Cody's getting the Stardust voice going.
Oh,
I'm not a big fan.
God.
I'm not a big fan of it, though, like, because I feel like he's eight, I don't know, something, but I like that he's trying, and that's what makes me love it, that he's trying, that it feels like he's someone else now, like, as if there has never been a Cody Rhodes, there has always been Stardust.
Fuck the voice, the segment, just your face is the yellow brick road to the cosmos?
Exactly. Yes, no, that's what I'm really enjoying as well, because Goldust and his movie references, it really fits his character. A lot. Like, I'm just excited. So excited about stuff like that.
I couldn't breathe. And then, you know, basically trying to say all roads lead to gold and stuff like that. And he gets interrupted.
Oh, man. And then of course, we have Cesaro versus Big E. You know, we'll be very quick. Happy didn't let Big E speak. You know, it was very interesting how Heyman wasn't there. And then appears later. And then apparently promotes Brock. But then says Plan C, which makes me think Plan Cesaro. But I'm not sure.
Mm.
Because I feel like if they wanted to be clever, which creative can usually be clever in this department, they could have said, you know, well, you might have your Plan B, but I also have my Plan B, you know, for Brock. You know, you've heard him say his jokes, all those damn knock-knock jokes. So I thought that there would be a chance that he would say that, but he said Plan C. So I was like, What are you trying to say here, Heyman? But that's probably obviously it's Lesnar. If it's Cesaro over Lesnar, that would mean that they're really strapped for cash.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I didn't get is why Heyman wasn't around earlier.
Oh, I'm assuming they were trying to say he was either making calls or going to Lesnar specifically. See, I think that's what kind of makes this really even more interesting. It's like, wait, but why wasn't he around later? Earlier. So,
yeah, I'm totally okay with that, by the way, because I agree with you. I think it's something of like, you know, oh, he was contacting Lesnar, and he's slowly fading away from Cesaro.
Exactly. Oh, actually, that's kind of interesting, too. Yeah, a bit of that, where it's like, when I saw him come out, I was like, oh, God, like, is Cesaro going to get mad about this or something? I thought of it more like, oh, hey, you know, you're in the ring tonight. Daddy needs to go make some calls. You know, you do your thing.
Okay,
you know,
I can understand.
Yeah. But at the same time, though, yes, it can easily tease that for Night of Champions or something, where if we're going to give someone a shot at the title, it could be Cesaro, if only because he's turning on Heyman. And he may lose, but doesn't make him bad, you know. Or
And it does kind of permanently enter him into the championship scene, which is the goal.
Which he deserves. Yeah, which he deserves. And I'll say this again. I'm happy they didn't let Big E speak. We don't need him being a preacher. And we don't have enough time to go on why, but if you heard any of our podcasts, you know why.
I'm totally happy he won, though.
Yes. I'm really happy he won, especially because Cesaro was getting very brutal in the match, and it made me kind of nervous. And I'm happy he won with the name Big E, because Kofi said, come on, E, and I just got so nervous. I thought they were shortening his name again.
I'm just really happy he won, honestly, because I really like Big E Langston. So anything, but I feel like he's going to be in Dolph Ziggler territory, where I'm going to sit there and be like, are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? They're going to do it. Oh, they're not going to do it. You know,
exactly.
Like with his pushes, you know. And it's going to even be harder because, look, let's not beat around the bush here. Big E's black. So it's going to be where, you know, I would love to for him to be like next year's Money in the Bank winner.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Because
like, I think Big E, non-preacher Big E, like real, I got five on it, five count Big E, would be a great threat as a Money in the Bank guy. Because he would just be there, like, looming over everything. He doesn't even need to be sneaky. He would just be there, right there, looking at you like, I have a Money in the Bank title shot.
It's true.
Watch your back.
You know, it's true. Most definitely. Also, so now we move forward, right? We move towards, again, Big E got to win. Thank God. Thank the Lord. We move towards the Jericho segment. Not too much to talk about because, of course, you know, we talked a bit about this before. What I want to say is, of course, Jericho was, you know, did an amazing promo, obviously. You thought it was a great Jericho promo to the point where you said to me before the podcast, it actually made people not like Bray, which is so good. if that's,
yeah, like,
you know,
some,
a Jericho.
You know, the crowd chanted boring during Bray's response, and the only way I can explain that is the Jericho-Jericho-fied them all so much that they were just like,
yeah,
screw whoever Jericho's facing. He
because,
is boring.
Because, I have to
because
say,
Jericho has us in his hands.
And I have to say, the way he started off his promo really made me want to watch the network. Like, if you don't have the network already, hear Jericho's promo. You'll want to get it.
Oh, yeah, no, and it was fun because he referenced a lot of things, by the way. The Bob Barker thing was hilarious. If you haven't seen Bob Barker on Raw with Jericho, please look it up because that was actually really funny. That was back when Jericho was a heel. And, you know, he mentioned a few things that were really musical chairs.
Oh, God.
Which is also a fun segment if you haven't seen that.
Jericho's
been a part of some of my favorite segments on Raw in history. And, you know, he mentioned a lot of them. He mentioned the fact that he was the first Undisputed Champion ever. And it was really cool because he was pumping himself up and pumping up all his experience. And then at the same time, we knew he was going to talk about Bray, and then he managed to make it make sense where he was about Bray being
context.
Special. You know, and it was great. So that was exactly what you would expect from a Jericho promo at this point. It was good. It was solid. I've been waiting 3 weeks for this shit. You know, I wanted
I know, right? We all have.
Yeah. So that happened. And Bray's response is very solid. Just, you know, you want to save us, Y2J, but where the fuck have you been? And,
it was all great, honestly. I think the only thing that weren't great was that the fact that Jericho was so great, you wonder, did he remember all these, like, write all these things down to say, or did someone, you know, here's the thing, you know, here's some highlights that you should mention, that, you know, obviously highlights of your career that you know about, here's some highlights. And I only bring this up because, like, it's Jericho, so obviously these things are very memorable, but damn it, people do other memorable things in their matches when they win and lose and shit like that. Why can you not keep score of that, you know? Like, why can't we just keep score in general? Why is it just, so Big E's fighting, you know, Cesaro. Have they ever fought? Who gives a fuck? WWE. You know, that's what kind of thing. Where it's just, Jericho deserves that whole, you know, here's the list of all your accomplishments. But again, it feels as if, guys, you know, we have a scoreboard for him. That's amazing. We need, you know, Jericho's great. Let's also keep track of what other people have done. You know?
I think for him it was just a matter of, like, putting in context how much he's seen, how much he's been through, to be able to say, I have seen nothing like Bray Wyatt. And believe me, I've seen it all.
Fair enough.
You know, and that's
right.
What I think it was here. And it made perfect sense. And
It did.
What confused me, though,
What?
Was Bray coming out strong for the segment.
Yes. Interesting.
Because,
I mean, I think
I
it might
know
do a
that
three
sets
thing.
Up, like Bray losing on Sunday, and then Jericho losing at SummerSlam.
Yeah, where Jericho might say, you know what? I don't think you gave me your all, did you? He's like, you wanted me to win. You wanted me to – and he goes – and Bray can go, I wanted you to prove how much of a hypocrite you are after you won or something like that. You know, and then they have another match and Bray actually wins because, you know, he gives it his all and he beats Jericho.
But what was great about it is that while Wyatt gave his little promo, as commentary alluded to, we still don't completely know why Bray is going after Jericho.
Which is
and
nice.
I like that because let's say Jericho wins, you know, on Sunday, which establishes him as credible again, which is beautiful. They forgot to do that last time. This is great. He wins. And I don't want to see Bray lose, but for the purpose of him winning in the long run, winning in the big picture, I will accept it. So, you know, Jericho wins on Sunday, and then Bray basically actually explains whatever his motivation is for taking down Jericho. And then suddenly Jericho's back on the defensive, and he's like, fine, I'll grant you another match. But now we've got clarity in the story. We've got some kind of stipulation at SummerSlam, a cage match, whatever the fuck it may be
Bray
comes out on top. And he looks stronger, you know, looks battle-tested, that kind of stuff. Jericho can move on to put someone else over in the 2 months that he will spend there after, you know, and it is what it is. So,
also,
Jericho Wyatt,
know,
I mean, come the fuck on. That is
I know,
cool.
No, that's a legendary match in the making, honestly, a legendary team-up. I mean, that's just amazing, you know, to have them, you know, coming together to fight, it's great. Also, I'd like to add, what I like about this is that it really feels like Bray brought his A game, which kind of felt lacking in between that Cena title hunt. Bray just knew he wasn't, because the thing is, even if Bray loses, I feel like Bray knows, you know, Bray likes Jericho. I don't think he doesn't like Cena, but he likes Jericho. You know, he's worked with him before. Working with him again, even if he, you know, loses this time, he knows he'll win next time. I feel like there's just something between the two of them that he really enjoys, where with Cena, he just sat there and thought, I'm going to be losing every single match with this guy. Even the ones that I win, I don't win. You know, and I'm wondering if that takes a toll on someone, because I know, yes, their job, and I'll agree, yes, their job, but it just sucks when it's just you've been doing your job so well, and that doesn't really give you much mobility. You know, where, yeah, he fought a match, he was in a rivalry with John Cena, but it's still nice to come out on top, because even when, you know, with other people, even when you lose, you know, like, even if, let's say, Daniel Bryan was still with the company, even coming out of a feud with him, you still look good. Where with Cena, manages to somehow, without meaning to, because I don't think he's been, you know, vindictive about this, but I hope he's not, but without meaning to, manages to make everyone else just look really bad after, you know, after a feud, which is very interesting. And then also, right, in a completely unrelated but still related topic, they left the lights off to fuck with the announcers.
That cracked me up.
Yeah. I was dying. Because I can't mention this for too long, sadly, but there were some technical issues, I think, with the production team. Not that I think. I saw at Madison Square Garden. I mean, there was a lot of issues at Madison Square Garden. So I don't know if they took that same exact team. All I know is that regardless, whatever teams they keep on using, you know, for different events, if they still do contract locally whenever they go to events or fly people in, the point is that they saved money. They really saved a lot of money. Yeah. But moving forward, getting quick, you know, keeping on with this, the Divas on the roster. Okay, so they have a lot of them. They did not need to make a rematch. Eva Marie, the woman who, you know, does like a DDT, and she did some more moves today. I don't think she's ready to wrestle. I really don't. She wasn't ready to wrestle a long time ago, but now I still don't believe she's ready. I think she's, again, she's doing more moves, but she really
needs
NXT.
And on top of that, seriously, why are we doing, I mean, we got AJ Eva already. You know, why are we doing this again?
Which on SmackDown.
On.
So it didn't need to have a Raw debut. It did not. And another
thing,
too. That
was a SmackDown kind of thing.
So yeah,
exactly. Could have been left on SmackDown, and nobody would have complained. Instead, again, they're redoing the same matches, let alone here, they're redoing a bad match.
Yeah. That's why you're going to have me say, you know, because if you wanted this, even though I don't want AJ to be around this, but hey, if you had to, if you want to make this a rivalry on SmackDown, yeah, you have a brand split, you keep them on SmackDown, and that's how that goes. You don't need that match being duplicated because it starts to make people think, wait, should I not? Now, the fact that it started on SmackDown and went to Raw, because usually it's the reverse. Now that it started on SmackDown and went to Raw, now people think, should I not be watching Raw either? Like, what should I be watching, WWE?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And also the fact that, okay, I'm sure this is a slow build on Paige turning on AJ. But I personally feel like, and I don't know if you want to agree with me, we don't have a lot of time, but still, I think this is the exact opposite of everything Paige is. You know, I see her as being a heel, as in just very straightforward, you know, where I feel like, and again, at first I was on board, but with what she said and with how it just came off today, using the word frenemy, I think it's complete bullshit, and I think the beautiful, fierce females from NXT, that's something they do, I believe, for, you know, to each other, where, you know, Charlotte works with Sasha Banks, and sometimes it's Summer Rae, only because they think, well, we're going to keep our enemies close, because, honestly, we're not best friends forever. We are strong, we're tough, we're in a pack, but that also does not mean that, you know, if you step out of line, I will put you in your place, right? That isn't what I think Paige is at all. From what I've seen and from what we've seen from her, I know you probably know her more than I do, her character, but still, it feels as if Paige would, she could turn on her at, you know, like a Money in the Bank Seth Rollins type situation, you know, but it wouldn't, she wouldn't actually be saying, well, you know how it is, you know, like, keep your enemies closer, you know, like, we're friends and stuff. Like, what? Like, that's not something she would say, and it kind of got me real. Like, I'm going to say that was, you know, something that would make me bring this down to, like, a C or a D. Yeah.
Now, all right, so for me, this segment, admittedly, like, okay, AJ and Paige have good chemistry in terms of being people. And so their little segment I thought was actually kind of cute and amusing. Mm. Now, speaking to how much I like it or how much I feel it fits Paige's character, Paige was the anti-diva, which means all the shit that you saw tonight, that wasn't Paige. And more of what you saw the night that she lost the title, you know, that kind of like alpha female thing where she was just like, this is my house, powerful, dominating kind of, that was more what Paige was, and it fit her character, you know, where I expected that to be followed up with a tough kind of like, you know what, she fucking fluke victoried me, you know, I'm going to kill her now. Like, I am, and the scream was a heel thing and all that stuff, and it's confusing to me, because I guess I shouldn't be angry, because Paige is seemingly doing okay in this role, but I'm going to have to wait until the heel turn to give a complete grade, because...
I know. I'm just angry because why... We talked about this before, and again, I'll be very quick.
I would never have Paige
stay
in front of me. I would never have Paige stay in front of me.
And I just there's a sentence that I want to use, and you know, we can move on right after, but I really want to put this out there. Why do we have NXT? Why... We can have FCW again that was completely untelevised, gave us no stories other than, you know, what people went to see live. I said more than one sentence. And we can just have that. But why do we have NXT? Why do we have people acknowledging, referencing, and saying to go watch NXT so that one day we're not going to see the people that, you know, people grew to love? I didn't even watch a lot of NXT. I only saw, you know, things that Satish brought up to me that I definitely wanted to see, like, you know, NXT TakeOver, you know, and things like that, and then thought, damn, I love Paige, and things like that. I mean, hell, you know, the lovely Ashley Colpan, someone who comes on with us, you know, for a few of our podcasts so far, she will also be, you know, on the show with us for Battleground, and she came to me, came with me to... you know, Madison Square Garden, right? She wore her Paige shirt. Sadly, Paige wasn't there because of the whole, you know, A show, B show kind of scenario. But still, you know, people like Paige the way she is. There's no reason why she needs to be anything else. And that's kind of what really is angering me, too, where she was in a position where girls could look up to her in a sense that, you know, maybe they'll think, wow, she's really mean, but you know what? She's tough, right?
Yeah, I mean,
even
when,
as a face, she could have been tough.
Yeah, when Paige won the title, and she actually, like, broke down backstage.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice for me because that was the human aspect of it. You know, it was somebody breaking character, and I love Paige. You know, I think she's a wonderful, wonderful performer. So seeing that, I was like, wow, this is such a breaking character. And then they made it her character, and it confused me.
Yeah.
It was a difference between NXT, and again, she did fine in the role, but just she did fine. She wasn't excelling because that's not what she's meant to play. She just naturally is a heel, a powerful heel. And you know, gosh be damned, I mean, it really wouldn't hurt to have a powerful female heel force, because if you've got her around and then you've got AJ playing like this lovable, playful face, that's a really nice foil to have at the top of your woman's division. You know,
exactly.
And then you throw in the people like Emma, who should be back on TV soon enough, perhaps next week after the pay-per-view. If not, you know, they'll slide her in. You've got Charlotte and Sasha Banks, who are both talented in their own way. You've got Bayley. You have the makings of a real competitive women's division, you know, and that's
really
not even me giving credit to the Bellas or the Funkadactyls being somewhat useful, because, you know, they are somewhat useful.
We'll talk about this on another show when we have more time. Sadly, our time is running out. But hey, you know, again, we're getting close. Bo Dallas versus Kali was amazing. If only because I really wondered how is he going to beat Kali, because he has to get this win. How is it going to happen? And happen in one of the most heelish ways possible. Sadly, they didn't acknowledge that it was a heelish way, but it is. You know, it should be acknowledged that when you beat up, when you're outside the ring, and then the guy comes out, and then you beat them up and then run back in for the win, that's pretty heelish. You know? That's not a nice thing to do, you know? But I have to say, oh, my God, some of the things that they said, you know, I mean, first off, JBL saying, wow, another interspecies match. Last week he fought a raging bull, and this week he fights Kali. I was looking at him and going, bad giant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love Bo Dallas. You know, I did my part to boo him live, but I love that man. And then after always, you know, saying like, hey there, little guy, you know, hey there, little buddy, just hey there, big buddy. I lost it. And
It was funny.
And then Kali hits him though, which concerned me. I got really scared because I was just, you know, I was wondering if he didn't know Bo was going to say anything and hit him because he thought it was self-defense. Like, he's like, oh, it's part of the show, right? Like, no, Kali, he had a promo. It always,
yeah.
with the language, you know, with the language barrier, the language gap, it always makes me nervous. Did Kali understand what he was doing at that specific time?
No, yeah, I agree, and I hate to be that type of person.
I know.
But I sometimes worry about, you know, does Kali know the direction? Because this is the same guy who, uncomfortable with the match, had ended up, like, eliminating himself almost from an over-the-top Battle Royale challenge thing. So
Yeah, it's
that tough.
Happened. Look it up.
Right. So it's just, I believe it was, like, an over-the-top match, and Kali basically eliminated himself. But,
yeah,
you know, so on the topic, though, I mean, Bo is still doing his thing, and
I'm just
waiting for the real story now. Like, I want him to have a story. And now that he's, like, 15 in Bo or whatever it may be, after this pay-per-view, which will probably have some kind of little segment or something on, after, if he's not, you know, too caught up in the Battle Royale.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're going to do.
Of course, yeah. I hope something big, you know, big comes from this. It would be very nice. You know, even if, you know, I mean, it would just be really nice. And but, hey, moving forward, Ric Flair came back.
That was uncomfortable. Was it uncomfortable for you?
Here's why it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for me for a few reasons. First off, God, house shows are terrible. I don't care about Ric Flair because I just saw him, right? And I saw him without any of the sexism. It was actually great. Like, I saw him without the need to hit on someone who looks pretty close to his daughter. Not completely, but it's like a Hogan scenario where it's like, you're going after a young blonde. Are you trying to get a younger version of your wife? Are you, you know, of your wife? Are you understanding that kind of looks like your daughter?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing here? Like, do you understand?
Renee looked very uncomfortable, and I felt bad because.
Well, I think Renee laughs at one point, if only because she's like, I feel like for her, being a wrestling fan, you can laugh at some of it in the sense that she goes, "Yep, this is the guy I saw on my TV when I was a child," right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Flair was trying to bring back, but the sad thing is that doesn't need to be brought back. Like, we will actually, I don't know about everyone, but you and I will actually be comfortable if his role is more of a Ron Simmons kind of role, where, you know, it's like, yes, no, woo, you know, we're okay
yep.
with that.
I agree. And
we don't need him to come out.
Older.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting older.
And I'm happy that you brought it up, because I was going to say, you know, I was going to say, Flair, you're great, and I'm happy you've beaten your personal demons, but why hit on Renee? You know?
Yeah, it was a weird little, Virginia's for lovers, run, Renee.
Yeah, exactly. Just, Renee, kill it with fire.
Yeah, so, and I just don't, Flair is losing his touch a little bit. And again, I like Flair. I know that this is a guy who is, it's fucking Ric Flair.
I would argue he's not losing his touch. I would argue reality is moving on, and
Flair's
Flair
a little bit
is
older.
Not.
I mean, it's just tough to, like, you know, overdo this freaking thing.
Yeah, I mean, okay, fair enough. Okay, yeah, I'll say that. Yeah, it could have been over. You could have argued it was overdone, yes. But I also think that, again, it's the times we're in, because I'm sure some people that were in the crowd or watching at home that are still back in that era, you know, in that era, they have never left. They might have thought that was like, oh, yep, that's Flair, you know, and they were interested in it because they're like, yep, you know, we like men who are like that. You know, again, I feel like people that were really in that kind of mindset thought about, but we're not saying that we're better or anything. Yeah, we are, you know, in a mindset where it's just that didn't need to be done. And then it was awkward mostly because people's entrances came on, and that's when also USA was screwing up for me. And you were like, what's going on here? I was going, what's going on here? And it's just, oh, it's just entrances.
Yeah,
so,
it was
also
weird.
Sadly, our time is running out. Do you want to talk about the main event? And we will go into the, we'll go, for a little bit, we'll go into our, you know, after hours.
We can go into, you know, we've got about 30 seconds, so we'll break into the archives just for a little bit.
Yeah.
Surprisingly,
that's the word that I knew, archives, but I was testing your knowledge.
Yeah. I just think that I'm surprised we got 2 hours out of this Raw. Because
me too. Because we complained for certain things that I think were necessary, but weren't that prevalent in this Raw. I think they might have been more prevalent in other Raws, but we just kind of definitely kind of attached and kind of went nuts more for it here.
Because we're angry. We are angry wrestling fans.
Well, yeah. That's what we should just change our name. Just screw those guys, angry wrestling fans.
I mean, I'm sure that would attract a lot of people. I think we've broken into the archives now, by the way. So
I'm hoping that it ended on what I just said, where just angry wrestling fans. And, of course, moving forward, you know, we really love tonight's Raw. You know, but anyway, again, so we move on to the main event just quickly. You know, I think it was a good match, but of course it was generic, you know, which it's just, it's bad for your main event to have that word attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Main event, I mean, segment after, completely generic.
Exactly. And it sucks because, again, you know, it's just, but you know what I think? And I'm sad to say this on the air, but, you know, if you listen to the archives, you know, you'll hear it. It sucks that you feel as if, you know, they may have not really put too much emphasis into this Raw because they thought people were watching the free network. What if that's actually in the back of their head? Where they're like, well, we're promoting the network so much on this Raw to go watch it because this is on right now, you know, on the network. Why are we going to try? So I'm wondering if by next week or even by SmackDown, hell, we're going to see a spike in quality. It's intriguing. So let's think about that. Let's actually write that down, and next week we'll actually talk about it. Because it is very interesting to think about.
I am relatively worried about the fact that Rollins might be hurt, and I know that may have hurt the end of this segment. And so that was, you know, Sunday's going to be interesting. Where,
it will.
You know, I want to throw something out there. I may have to make a bit of an impromptu trip to Baltimore, and I may or may not be around Sunday. So you may hear Matt and Ashley doing a podcast if life permits them
to. You may. And, you know, and if you haven't heard Ashley before, she and I done. Yeah, oh, she is. You know, we've done Total Divas, and I understand that's a hard thing to swallow, the words Total Divas, but don't worry. We made it fun. So we did do a Total Divas episode that you can check out. And, yeah, as you said, she is very good at what she does. And, you know, we'll be on Sunday talking about Battleground, you know, and even if Tish makes it, it'll be the three of us in a three-person booth, which is great. But if we can't, you know, if you can't make it, I would feel terrible because, you know, I love you on. But, I mean, hey, you know, we'll have Ashley on, and it'll be a great show, you know. But, of course, hopefully you can make it.
It's funny because, like, with this pay-per-view, I'm excited to see some of it. But if Rollins is hurt, right, that's a big chunk of it for me right there. Because I'm looking at a pay-per-view where I don't know what's going to happen with Paige and AJ, but I assume it's not going to be as clear a finish as I hope it'll be. Right?
I actually think, something's going to happen where it's, something's going to happen. I don't know what, but something, someone's going to go heel, someone's going to do something to get someone disqualified, and then someone's going to be angry. It's going to be something.
Something's not
going to
go cleanly, and I'm going to be disappointed.
Right.
Rollins and Ambrose may not happen. I don't know if I can stomach watching Cena win again. You know, so I don't want to see Rusev win again.
Right.
And so, off the top of my head, redeeming qualities, the Battle Royale should be fun because they're usually pretty entertaining. Yeah. And Jericho is always good, especially with Wyatt.
Of course.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's
you know,
very
so,
hard to say.
And I'm not saying I'm going to miss the pay-per-view. If I can, I would gladly, you know, I'm going to gladly
course,
sit down and watch
course,
it.
Of course, yeah.
But, you know,
but,
if it's happened, this is not SummerSlam.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, where there's just this weird transitional period, I feel. But, I mean, but hey, you know, I'll say this much. So, end the show, I'll say something nice, right? You know, Paul, say something stupid. You know, I'll say something nice. Reigns was used nicely. You know, I think that, you know, it's nice that the contrast, because a couple weeks back, we actually had Reigns doing the brunt of the work and then trying to get Cena in on the hot tag. I like that we had Cena doing the brunt of the work and getting Reigns in on a hot tag, which really is putting him over, regardless of, which, hey, you know, I said, like, oh, usually, you know, which is funny, because it's like, Matt, you just said people that, you know, usually get buried or whatever with John Cena. It's like, actually, they usually do. You know, so things are changing. Slowly, but they are changing. in this company, where they're, you know, although I have to say, Reigns isn't completely opposite Cena, which is also another factor.
Mm.
Where if it was just Reigns versus Cena at Battleground, things would be a lot different right now, I feel. But hey, you know, I mean, it was, again, it was a forgettable Raw, which is upsetting. You wouldn't be able to see it on the network. So it's funny, if people did miss this Raw, they wouldn't be able to see it on the network for another month or two, because they had that deal with Hulu. So you'd be able to see it on Hulu, but cut. So a forgettable Raw would now probably be quite forgettable, I would say. But
mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, I mean, we're done. I'm happy you listened. We're happy you listened. You know, again, if you agree or disagree with us, please feel passionate enough to call, because we want to be proven wrong or try to prove you wrong. It's nice. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, and you know, as always, like us on Facebook if you're out there listening to the archives. I mean, you must actually like us enough to have listened to this point, which is cool. So those guys on Facebook, if you put us in the search bar, in the URL bar, it's / those guys on the radio. And you can also follow us on Twitter now, because we've got someone running our Twitter. And you can find us at those guys radio.
And, of course, you can also email us, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com, for anything, show suggestions. I mean, you know, just outlandish things. Maybe it'll actually, you know, inspire us to go play a video game, a certain, you know, specific video game, or go watch a show and just talk about it. Or movie, even. You know, I mean, we talk about a lot currently. I mean, we talk about wrestling. Every week we try our best to do a Dragon Ball Z movie podcast. I was Tisha's and on those. But we also, Tristan Walter is actually, which, you know, very, very good podcaster, I would say. You know, and, of course, we have our This Week in Comics episodes every week, where we talk about specific comics during the week with Anthony Sinandris. And, again, we want to expand and do a lot more. So definitely, you know, give us some suggestions, and, you know, because we like a lot of things. I mean, you're a My Little Pony fan.
Yeah,
that
and hopefully we'll be doing next week a update on the new Pokemon game, Mega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, because some new stuff is coming out as the days go by. And it's just a little bit fun to talk about.
Maybe even this week. How would you know? How would you know, the fan that's listening? Well, on our Facebook, we update every single day with, are we doing a show, are we not doing a show? And you'll know, you know? And, yeah, that's how it works. So thank you guys for listening to those guys. Would you like to play us out with something, Satish?
I got something. Let's see.
All right.
All right. Let's do it.
Yeah.